to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. Progress is healing the wound that's the low man.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff. Woo, so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. You need to get up. Get up. Get to me. My goodness gracious. My goodness gracious. We have stuff, we have business, we have issues that we need to address, so get to me so that we can get this done. I think that, because the election, the August 8th election, is so close, I think that there are many things that we need to address. I think that there are issues that, discussions, if you will, that we need to have. Because there are major decisions that are getting ready to fix and to be made. Decisions that are fixing to be made. So we need to tend to our business. And one of the elections that I think that we need to be tending to, be looking at, be mindful of, be participatory in. How do you like that word? Participatory in. One of the issues that we need to be participatory in is the issue of, let me put it this way. Let me try to wrap it appropriately. In order to be successful, in order to be consistently successful, one of the things that we're doing is the Urban Institute, meeting every Saturday. This Saturday is no exception at 1020 North Taylor. Why do we do that? Because we have to be busy about the business of constantly working on our issues, constantly working on our issues. We have to. We have to plan. We have to strategize. And we have to be, we have to use our resources to follow what those that are in opposition to our issues are doing and pay attention to those actions and strategize based on those actions. Simply because vouchers did not pass in the state legislature this year doesn't mean that they're not coming back next year and that they're not trying to put their players in place to make vouchers happen in the state of Missouri. And I want to talk about how far these voucher proponents that would assault our children and take our money, how far they're willing to go to get thy will be done. Stay with me.
Health care coverage impacting over 100,000 Missourians. As a member of the powerful budget committee, I work to restore those cuts. Many are still affected and don't have health care coverage. As your next state senator, I will continue to fight and be a strong voice for all the residents of the 4th Senatorial District. Tuesday, August the 8th, punch number 26 to vote for me, Amber Holly Boykins, an experienced leader who has a record of achievement as your state representative and the proven leadership we need in your next state senator.
Paid for by Friends of Amber H. Boykin, Pam Butler, Treasurer.
This is George Cotton.
And this is Syl Wilson.
We're your co-hosts for The Real Deal with George and Syl.
Every Tuesday night from 8 to 10 p.m.
Tune us in for thought-provoking and challenging conversation.
That's right. Count on informative dialogue, guaranteed controversy between George and I, and even a little humor.
That's right. Real Deal with George and Syl. Every Tuesday evening from 8 to 10 o'clock p.m. Tune us in. Spread the word, and we guarantee you'll love the show. See you then.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. I learned at an early age that animals matter to me. Every week, we'll share your stories. We'll discuss issues that matter most to you and your companion animals, from breed-specific laws to puppy mills, and answer your questions about pet care as well. You'll also enjoy our special guests as they share their tales. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun every week. Join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
Hello, I'm Joe Palm, candidate for state representative in the 57th District. I will support legislation to improve the educational experience for children in our community. I will work for improved access to health care for all citizens. I support a police citizen review board and a community approach to crime prevention. When you vote on August 8th, punch 29. The future of our community is in your hands. Visit JoePalm.com and learn more.
Paid for by Palm for 57th, Vanessa Williams, Treasurer.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
I know I'm praying for much too much, but could you send back the only man she loved? I know you don't do it usually, but dear Lord, she's dying to dance with my father again. Every night I fall asleep, and this is all I ever dream.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get up, get to me. You know, we need to be mindful. We need to be aware of how things are working and on our issues, for our issues, about our issues. And I want you to know how far folks will go to have their will be done. We have talked many times about the vouchers and how billionaires from out of state have come in and tried to buy off elected officials. Ted Hoskins is one of them that has been bought and paid for with respect to the issues of vouchers, bought and paid for. Just look at his campaign report. People all over the world that are about vouchers are pouring money into his campaign. Coffers. He was one of the few Democrats, I think one of two Democrats, that voted for absolutely no limit on the amount of money that we can get, that elected officials can get, along with the Republicans. And it passed. And so let the party begin, I guess. Ted Hoskins says, but I want you to know how dirty, how far, how low down, how insulting, how foul these players that are pushing the issue of vouchers, how deep does the rabbit hole go? When does it turn into a sewer line? And how far do they crawl down that nasty, dirty sewer line to pluck a rabbit out? Well, let's talk about Sandy Colquitt. Colquitt. Sandy Colquitt has been, according to state documents, she has been late in filing at least 8 campaign finance reports. This week, a Cole County judge ordered her to pay $3,000 in late fees for just one of those filings. She had a court date on Monday. She didn't show up. Ain't that something? You running for office. The criticism again, no, the action that has been brought against you says that you owe $3,000 because you haven't bothered to tell the world who your supporters are. Who's giving you money? And ask yourself this question. If she refuses to, she doesn't show up for court. She refuses to file her campaign filings. She used to be a U City legislator. She's never filed her campaign filing reports. Imagine what she would do if she got elected into office. What she would choose, how far she would go. I mean, this is like the sweetest dream of anybody running for office, that your opponent has been fined and convicted of not filing their campaign finance reports and didn't show up to court. This is a dream for people. No one who is serious about running for office would ever do that in the midst of an election. No one would do that. Let alone who would support somebody who did. Who would support? The voucher people. The voucher people. They say that this black woman is good enough for black folks. She good enough. We don't care that she's been convicted of breaking the law. We don't care that she's been fined $3,000. We don't care that she doesn't file that stuff, because we don't want anybody to know for real anyway. This is how far the voucher people will go in this race in U City. They say that she's good enough. They say she is a good enough legislator. Wannabe legislator. Ain't that some stuff? Well, ain't that some stuff? 8 campaign finance reports from July 2004 to April of this year. Colquitt said that many of her reports were late because she didn't know her campaign committee from 2004 was still listed as active. She could not explain why earlier reports had not been filed. Huh. Huh. The question is that, the question is, why is this person good enough? Good enough. Why is this good enough? Why is she good enough? Now, she's a black woman. And so she's going to be carried out there like Ted Hoskins was, like she cares about black children, because the voucher program is only directed at black school districts, mostly black school districts. So why is she good enough? Why would she be good enough? And my mother and father always told me, you know, you're judged by the company that you keep. Why is Ted Hoskins spending every day down in her campaign office? Because she's good enough. Why does he want this candidate in? Oh, because she supports vouchers and she will do what she's told. And let me ask you this. If she doesn't do this, if she doesn't file her campaign, if she doesn't file her campaign finance reports, if she is convicted of not filing them, let me ask you this. What else has she not done? And how vulnerable of a person is she? In other words, how easily can she be controlled by anybody? If she has this kind of carelessness, this kind of lawlessness, this kind of aggressive law-breaking. Aggressive law-breaking. Imagine who else may own her. She's owned from the moment she walks in the door. Usually people that get owned, decide who they're going to be owned by. She's owned from the moment, and she's never been a state representative before. She owned before she walks in the door. This is the caliber. This is the caliber. And she says that this is no controversy. You didn't show up for court. You got fined $3,000. You're convicted $3,000. And that's not the only case that's out there. And that's something. And the voucher people are happy with her. She's good enough. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Hi, Liz. Did you see on the news where this last week they found in Ireland an old, old copy, well, over 1,000 years old, buried in the mud, the copy of the Book of Psalms? And it was actually turned to the 83rd Psalm, which the psalmist was lamenting how the nations were coming against Israel, and it said in there, come, let us wipe out their nations, let Israel be named no more. And it says, they shall cover their face with shame till they pay homage to the Lord. I think that's just a prophecy of people going against Israel. Now, whether that includes yourself or not, I don't know, you know, if you stand against Israel, but be careful.
So I thank you for your cheery thoughts this morning, and it's fascinating to me that anybody can find justification for slaughter of anybody, that one particular person is sacrosanct against all. There are innocent people that are being slaughtered. Four UN peacekeepers were killed. And are you happy? Are you happy with that?
No.
Are you happy with that?
They set up their camp right next to the enemy.
So it's their fault. Okay. That's usually what people who justify the murder of other people say. If you'd get your face out of my fist, I would quit hitting you. That's the same type of mentality. That's kind of that. And you're proud of that. My name is Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. It's their fault. They're dead because they set it up too close. Israel had no way of knowing No way of seeing that big old red cross on that big old white sheet. Couldn't have seen that. And also, they weren't told by the UN where they were. And this has always been a place where the UN kept, UN stayed. It's their fault. It's their fault. Okay. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's. Westbound 70 at Cole, disabled vehicle, right lane is blocked. Westbound 270 at Newhalls Ferry and 170, everything's on the move. Northbound 270 at 44, look for normal traffic. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, expect no problems this morning. Westbound 270 at 367 and 170, look for no problems there. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3 and the Canal Bridge, no problems to report. All your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are starting to build this hour. Westbound East Bridge, the right lane is still closed at Missouri End due to storm damage. Expect some delays this morning. And westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got paving operations backing traffic up through the 64 merge. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's. Just how thirsty are you? Quench your thirst without ever leaving the air conditioning of your car with a Hugo-sized drink at McDonald's for just 89 cents. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday, pretty much the same all the way through. Hot and humid today. 50% chance of showers, high and lower to mid-90s, and the temperatures will be in the 100s. The heat index will be at 100 by this afternoon. For this evening, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of showers, low in the mid-70s. Friday, pretty much the same, hot and humid, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny in the afternoon, highs in the low to mid-90s, and the heat index will be around 100 by Friday afternoon. Saturday, hot and humid, partly cloudy, high in the mid-90s. The heat index will be around 101 by the afternoon. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 81 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 81 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, this is Jamila Nasheed, and I'm running for state representative in the 60th District. Are you tired of the politicians that only come around when they need your vote? Politicians that care more about serving themselves and their family members than the interests of the people. Politicians that use eminent domain to take people's homes. On Tuesday, August 8th, the power will be in your hands. You can make a change by voting for me, Jamila Nasheed. I don't only talk the talk, I walk the walk. As your next state representative, I will fight for a livable wage, better schools, job opportunities for our community, and I will also protect homeowners from eminent domain. I will hold regular meetings and return phone calls. That is my pledge to you. On Tuesday, August the 8th, fill in number 38 on your ballot. Vote for Jamila Nasheed, a voice for the voiceless.
Paid for by Citizens to Elect Jamila Nasheed, Felicia Brooks, treasurer.
Fill in 38.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger. Listen to me Thursday, July 27th, when my guest will be Kristen Luker, noted sociologist and author of her new book, When Sex Goes to School, Warring Views on Sex and Sex Education Since the 1960s. That's the Sloan Ranger Show, Thursday, July 27th at 5 o'clock, only on WGNU.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Daddy was a soldier. He taught me about freedom. Peace and all the great things that we take advantage of.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Get up, or get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. Do you feel that Redden Sharp is just an opportunist?
And just an opportunist. Why would you, why do you say that?
Well, because he came here and he protested, and then he just went back to New York.
Okay. What was he supposed to do?
Well, he didn't. That's all he could do.
Okay, so he doesn't live here, and was he supposed to stay here? Explain to me why you're raising the issue of whether or not he's an opportunist or not. And the first thing that you said is that he just came here and then he left, but he doesn't live here. He has to go back home. So what was he supposed to do that he didn't do?
Well, he comes here.
Okay, he came here on the Highway 70 shutdown. That was a great thing, don't you think? Shouldn't he have?
Well, he doesn't know St. Louis.
Well, what do you mean? He knows issues. I mean, it's like saying, okay, if there is a case of police brutality, unless you live in that city, you shouldn't be allowed to comment on it. So that means that during the civil rights movement, if you didn't live in Alabama, you shouldn't have gone down there to protest against the virulent racism that was going on there. We in the African community have a 100-year-old history of going to where the challenges are that confront black people, African people, irrespective of the borders of the city lines. So to suggest now that this man of African descent who came to town on a specific issue is doing something that is inconsistent with or opportunist is to ignore the history of how people in the African community have confronted the issues that impact all of us. Certainly, are you saying that I should not go to, if I was asked to go to, as I was, I was asked to go to California. I was asked to go to Oakland to speak on and to address the issues that were going on in Oakland and to bring our perspective about what was happening in the city of St. Louis with our school takeover. Should I have not gone? Because I don't live in Oakland?
No, I just...
So simply because he doesn't live here doesn't mean that he doesn't understand the issues that confront people of African descent. You got to give me more, Mike. What else?
Well, I just listen to the news.
And isn't that okay? You're listening to the and people have said that. And I guess I'm always resistant, Mike, when anytime anybody says something negative about people of African descent. I always, in my head, when I hear that, I always have to go through the history of my people and understand that any time that these assessments are coming to my towards my people, they're always suspect. And you have to deconstruct everything that is directed at us. Of course, people will use the word opportunistic. In fact, you know what they said about Martin Luther King? When he would go from city to city, they said the same thing about him. They said he was opportunistic because he didn't stay in Georgia. You feel me?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so don't let people put words in your head to ascribe actions of people of African descent without understanding, without remembering and attaching to that assessment what our history is. They said the same thing about Martin Luther King. So we just supposed to, you just supposed to stay in your house because you don't know, you don't live over there on Fair. So you can't go to Fair Street and talk about police brutality that is happening there?
Yeah, okay, yes, because when I visit you yesterday, might come to me tomorrow.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
It's one thing, I don't listen to these news hounds, but like you said, people don't live in your community. They don't care anything about you or me. Yeah, okay, Liz.
All right. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Car phone.
Morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I live out in University City, and I'm in Maria Chappelle Nadal District out here. And I just wanted to say she has done the most fantastic job. She is so hardworking. She communicates with the constituents out here constantly, and she's been on the right side of the issues. I mean, she has just done a fantastic job.
Isn't that what you measure a person by? And I guess here's the thing. When you look at her opponent in this race, I am stunned that she was not removed off of the ballot. Because that's what the law says, that when someone does not, because here's the thing, John, her opponent, Maria Chappelle Nadal's opponent, signed a form saying, I swear that I have disclosed everything and that I have filled, there are no outstanding campaign finance reports.
She signed that. She took an oath. And then all of a sudden, oops, I was wrong about that.
Oops, I was wrong about it. So what she says, oops, the law is clear. She signed that oath. And so she shouldn't be on the ballot to begin with. And what kind of person would she be that she would sign this and say that something is not true, that she would be convicted of this, convicted of $3,000 of not fine for not filing these reports? What kind of person is she, and who would support her, and how concerned should we be that she's still on the ballot and that people are still supporting her?
Exactly right.
Voucher people are still supporting
her. Financial irresponsibility is just not what you want in a elected official.
And she took an oath and said that she had done this, and she didn't.
And then this gets me almost as much, or maybe even more. She says, oh, I'm not sure if I've made it. I haven't made up my mind about the voucher issue.
She's a liar then, too.
Well, how stupid does she think we are when you look at who her supporters are, who's given her money and campaign support? It's all the school voucher people. And I just hate it when an official thinks that we're, you know, we can just be lied to and manipulated like that. I find it so condescending.
And it's also a bit, when people, I'm trying to live my life like this, when people show you who they are, believe them. And she has lied. She has broken her oath. She has been convicted of a $3,000 crime, and there are other crimes out there, lawlessness. And she looks us in the face and says that she's not, she hasn't made up her mind on vouchers. She's a lie.
And, you know, if I can name names, I was so disappointed in Betty Thompson. I got a letter from her that was just full of innuendos and, you know, backstabbing type of comments. And, you know, just the worst kind of politics.
It really is.
And if you want to make accusations about somebody, go ahead and make them. But don't send me a letter with innuendos in it, you know, that I'm supposed to read between the lines, you know, when really there's nothing there and you're just, you know, smearing somebody.
And the question should be, the question that anybody that supports somebody should be, I'm supporting someone that is lawless. I'm supporting someone that lies. I'm supporting someone. And you have to ask yourself, well, why are you going this far? And the only thing that we're seeing, the common thread that ties this all together is vouchers.
That's right.
Voucher money.
Voucher
money.
Right.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, you take care.
Listen, folks, I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me. I'll be back at you after this break. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? That's right. Where else, where else, where else are you going to get washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, and everything that you need to make your house a home, to make your house a palace, to make your house everything that you need it to be inside and out? Get on over to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. You will experience the trifecta of a shopping experience, and I know about shopping. The trifecta is great location, great prices, and great customer service. You get it all and so much more when you get over to Sears. So get on over to Sears, buy your washer, your dryer, your refrigerator, your stove, and tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds, those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Baton Rouge. The Federal Emergency Management Agency has issued orders to people living in FEMA trailer parks because of Hurricane Katrina that they are not to talk to anyone from the media unless a representative from their office is present. A reporter and a photographer were thrown out of a FEMA emergency trailer park in Morgan City, Louisiana, just last week after they were caught snooping around. FEMA says the ruling is to protect the privacy of the residents. But members of the Louisiana congressional delegation are expressing outrage and call it absurd, saying it typifies how bureaucratic and out of control FEMA actually is. And Dateline Beirut. A number of stories are coming out of this region that indicate the two Israeli soldiers who were taken prisoner by Hezbollah militants were actually in Lebanese territory when they were captured. According to Lebanese police, the two soldiers were captured as they entered the town of Aita al-Sha'ab, which is over the border. They were said to belong to an Israeli unit that had crossed the border. The Israeli press had been reporting that the two were captured while they were in Israel's territory following an ambush. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Hey, this is Dave Francis inviting you to join me on the Dave Francis Show, Thursdays from 8 till 9 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU. We're going to talk about Nicaragua or Mexico or immigration or Russia. These are all places I've been. These are all things I've been involved in. I'm a journalist, I'm a writer, and I'm a radio host, and I'm here to talk to you guys about the things that matter most to you on AM 920 WGNU, the Dave Francis Show, on Thursdays from 8 till 9 p.m.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Still ain't seen nothing like my neighborhood. And of all the fancy satin and silk, my white cotton feels so good. Search high and low for a place where I can lay my burdens down. Ain't nothing in the whole wide world like the peace that I have found.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up or get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I usually tune in early, and I was in a room where I couldn't hear the radio. When I came back in and I heard some woman talking about religion and Israel, and I thought I had the wrong station. I thought I had somehow mistakenly tuned into one of those religious radio stations. I don't know if you've ever listened to any of those stations, but it's like they're all talking about bloodletting. Either they're apparent bloodletters or they are wannabe bloodletters. They talk about murder and mayhem and murdering people that work at clinics. And it's all about violence. I've never heard anybody that was supposed to be religious talk with just venom spewing out of their mouth. So then I finally realized it was a caller, and she was talking about Israel. And I'd like to say this is just my theory on the war that's happening over in Lebanon and Palestine. I believe that this first soldier that was supposedly kidnapped It is my theory that, I don't know what the CIA is called in Israel, but I think that they kidnapped one of their own people to give them reason to go into this country and kill these people, because I think that their real target is Syria and Iran. I think that's who their real targets are, and they're positioning themselves to make it easier for them to make a strike. So that was a plan. It was by design. And I think that America, I think that they don't want to stop it, because they could stop this war immediately if they wanted to. But they want to let them get as far as they can and kill us and weaken that country as much as they can before they stop. So it's all in the plan. I'm sure it's written down someplace.
Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Brenda.
Yes, Brenda.
Yes, I have a question. They always talk about these two soldiers of Israel. I never heard their names.
Nobody knows. I mean,
I never heard their parents come on TV like here and ask the return of their children. You know?
Well, so what? Why is that significant to you?
Well, I just wanted to know, you know, if there were.
Okay, the fact that you haven't seen them, what does that mean to you?
It means that I don't know if it's true or not.
Mm. And I guess one of the things that is really horrifying to me is that we have a person that is supposed to be the Secretary of State, and there's no call for a ceasefire. There's no call for calm. There's no call for an ending to the bloodletting. In fact, our policy has always been there cannot be a military solution to a political problem, shouldn't be, and now this administration is, it's always a military solution to anything that we want, and that's horrifying.
Yes, it is.
That's horrifying.
Yes, it is.
And it is, how can you say that it is justified? The men are supposed to be alive, right? Everybody's proceeding as if the soldiers are still alive, right? Nobody said that they're dead, right?
Right.
Why have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, tens of thousands of homes been destroyed for two people that are still alive?
Right.
That doesn't seem problematic or wrong?
Yes, it should be.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you, bud.
Jeff.
Hey, what's up, Liz?
Good morning.
Okay, in response to your last caller, the parents and relatives of those soldiers who were allegedly kidnapped have spoken, and they have said that if their sons are alive, then they might be dead now, because they believe that the Israelis have to stop shooting.
Mm.
And they also accuse America of not being involved in trying to stop this carnage.
Mm.
They have spoken, so I kind of liken the parents.
Well, isn't it interesting that now, let me ask you this question, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
If the parents had said that Lebanon should be turned into a parking lot in order to get my babies back, do you think we would have heard that all over the news?
Oh, yes. There you go.
Okay. So
that would have been popular news.
That would have been popular news.
And you know what? Now the parents, I think the parents might be in the United States, but they're kind of, you know, going around talking to certain groups, like that lady, what's her name, Sheehan? Is that what's her name?
Cindy Sheehan.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And now I guarantee you that, you know, the media is going to start picking at this family, and they're going to start saying nasty things about this family, just like they did with this lady whose son was killed.
You know what? I wonder, because there is more to be gained by people not knowing how this family feels. You know what I mean? I think that so many people would be surprised to hear this family, those soldiers' families, saying that. So I bet that you're not going to have them. You're not going to find the picking at those families, because they don't want the story out there.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it's a darn shame, because, you know, from reports that I've seen, children and mothers and other people who aren't involved militarily in this fiasco are being killed, and you see Condi's over there, you know, she's trying to be somewhat diplomatic.
No, she's not. She's not being a diplomat at all. She's been a warmonger. She is saying, keep fighting, keep rolling, keep dropping bombs. She has, there is no letter in diplomat that she represents. How are you a diplomat when you leave a place that is getting ready to implode and you say, you know what, keep going on?
She's not being a diplomat.
At
I'm
all.
Saying that the appearance, you know, based on how the media is reporting this.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't even see that the media is reporting her as a diplomat. I mean, I'm looking at the front page of USA Today. No agreement on Lebanon. Rome talks are inconclusive. Condoleezza Rice has moved on. They haven't criticized her the way that they should, but they certainly are not giving her props as a diplomat.
Exactly. And you ever notice how when the media, when they talk about this thing that's going on over there, anytime they talk about Israel, they always say we.
Mm-hmm.
And when they refer to Lebanon, they say they.
Thanks for your call.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. Barbara.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Yes, I was just listening to your conversation. Another thing about that is that over in the Middle East, on your news this morning, they said that those two soldiers were caught on the Lebanese side. And it's just like the bully that's caught doing wrong. He'll always kill you if he's stealing. So they were stealing. They got caught, and then they attacked Lebanon.
Mm-hmm. See, that's what the reports are saying.
Yeah.
And some people, there are people out there that are also suggesting that, you know what, given what Israel's response has been, this overarching, inexplicable, just elimination of radio stations, elimination of infrastructure, the murder
right.
of innocent civilians, that and the refusal to talk at all, that maybe it was a setup. Maybe the whole snatching was a setup in order to justify what they're trying to do right now.
Maybe so, because they were on the other side, but you see, the Israelis came out first and said that they were kidnapped from that side.
Thanks for your call.
So they breached the border.
Thanks for your call, mm-hmm. Barbara. 1-877-920-WGNU. Mildred.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
I think the Bush administration has the cow by the tail. When they sent Rice over there to tell Hezbollah to disarm, it was the worst thing you could have told them, because they know the United Nations and they know how it operates. Because in the first place, this is not a peacemaking organization. It's a peacekeeping one. And what is supposed to happen, the ceasefire is supposed to take place. Hostilities are supposed to cease. Then you send in the troops from the UN. And instead, they've sent them over there amid junk, and they've been killed. And I do believe that what is happening in Israel now, they're trying to pave a way for the U.S. to take over the Middle East, and it will never, ever happen. Thank you.
Thanks for your call. We're taking a break. We'll be back with Eye on the Loo. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's
the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. A warning from Al-Qaeda's second-in-command on Al Jazeera TV. Simon al-Sawahi, you're hearing, says his group will not sit back while he describes as Israel's continued attacks on Lebanon and the Palestinians continue. He says his group sees the world as a huge open battlefield. The fighting between Israel and Hezbollah militants in Lebanon now in its third week.
There is a growing realization here in Israel that this could go on for some time. Preparing the public on the day Israel lost 9 of its soldiers, the Prime Minister said things could get worse before they get better. And in a country where every family has a son or daughter in the army, there is concern here, but also support for what the military and the government is doing. Most Israelis will tell you that the situation on their northern border is intolerable. They want Hezbollah pushed back.
ABC's Linda Alban are along the Israel-Lebanon border. Iraqi police say at least 31 people are dead, 153 hurt after some of the worst violence in weeks, a mortar attack followed by a car bombing in a busy Baghdad neighborhood. Also today in Baghdad, what could be the final session before a verdict in the trial of Saddam Hussein has just ended, the next date in October. A civilian helicopter has crashed in bad weather in Afghanistan's eastern mountains, all 16 people on board killed, including 2 Americans. An historic signing ceremony today at the White House, ABC's Ann Compton.
A who's who of America's civil rights community has been invited to an enormous ceremony staged on the South Lawn with the White House itself as the imposing backdrop. President Bush is making good on his recent promise to the NAACP that he would sign the extension of protections for minority voters policing election laws in a handful of states. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Finally, California.
As far as relief is concerned for the Central Valley, it finally should come over the weekend as temperatures dip to more normal levels in the upper 90s.
KGO weatherman Lloyd Lindsay Young with the word of the break. Daria Alpinger, ABC News.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? That's a sign of too much moisture and not enough ventilation. And that increases mold growth and the buildup of harmful toxins and gases. But you can remove these dangers with a Humidex ventilation unit. Here's what one homeowner wrote.
We had a dehumidifier in our basement, but it never got rid of the dampness and musty odors. Whenever my children went downstairs to play, their asthma always got worse. We had a Humidex installed, and I can't believe the results. Within a few days, the odors were gone, and the kids are feeling much better.
With Humidex, there's no maintenance, no buckets to empty, no filters. For just pennies a day, Humidex provides moisture control and fresher, healthier air. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call now for a free Humidex brochure. Here's the number. Call 1-800-663-2585. That's 1-800-663-2585. Or log on to dryhousenow.com. Call now, 1-800-663-2585.
A surprise announcement from a member of a popular boy band. Here's ABC's David Blaustein.
Ooh, yeah. Lance Bass tells People magazine that he's always known that he's gay. Out magazine editor-in-chief Aaron Hicklin applauds Bass's courage in coming out, but wishes the pop star would have done it at the height of his fame.
But what's sad is that Lance Bass felt that he had to wait this long.
People magazine senior editor Julie Dam says Bass did consider coming out during his run with NSYNC.
4 other guys were relying on him as well, and he felt that if he said anything about it or even acted on it, it could mean the end of NSYNC.
Bass says he's more liberated and happier than he's ever been. David Blaustein, ABC News.
Now, this is a global ho-ho-ho. The World Santa Claus Convention just wrapped up in Denmark. Dozens of St. Nicks dressed in the traditional red suit paraded through an amusement park. They may say Merry Christmas in a lot of different languages, but all 171 agree Christmas presents should be bigger this year. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, 3 more deaths in the city of St. Louis are blamed on the heat and power outages. Mayor Francis Slay says the victims range in age from 49 to 93. Another heat-related death was reported in the city earlier this week. Anyone in need of a cooling center can call the United Way at 1-800-427-4626.
A drug suspect shot by a St. Louis police officer faces new charges. 27-year-old David Murphy faces multiple counts of assault on an officer, resisting arrest, and other charges. Police say Murphy was driving erratically on Eichelberger Tuesday night and drove toward officers before one of the officers shot him in the chest. Murphy remains hospitalized but is expected to survive. City and state officials are explaining what's being done in the aftermath of the storm, which caused a massive power outage throughout the region. Missouri State Senator Pat Dougherty says they've asked Governor Matt Blunt to contact the federal government to seek approval for the disaster food stamp program.
Under that type of a program, the authority to simplify the application process, simplify the verification process, seek quicker approval for food stamps is available. More importantly, it would give the state authority, if it so chose, to offer food stamp assistance to those who normally do not qualify.
The Salvation Army will be partnering with several other groups to hand out 50,000 boxes containing food for 40 meals beginning Saturday, in addition to distributing more than 50,000 hot meals per day. Call 1-800-427-4626 for information about cooling and food distribution sites. The wife of St. Louis Cardinals announcer Mike Shannon is recovering from cancer surgery. According to a statement from the Shannon family, Judy Shannon had successful surgery last week and is resting comfortably. The family asked people to refrain from sending gifts or flowers and says good wishes and prayers are most sincerely appreciated. Mike Shannon has been out of the broadcast booth and will return as soon as possible. Finally this hour, a Metro East airport may have new trade opportunities overseas. An Indonesian delegation visited Mid-America Airport yesterday to discuss international air cargo and other business opportunities for the airport. Ismet Abdullah, the governor of the newly created Indonesian province of the Rio Islands, says Mid-America's location makes the airport attractive. The Indonesian delegation is still in the area today on an economic development tour. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Chamberlain College of Nursing. Have you heard? Deaconess is now Chamberlain College of Nursing. Chamberlain offers ASN and BSN nursing degree programs and a fast-track RN to BSN degree completion program. See chamberlain.edu. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Air National Guard. Southbound 61 and 70, there's an accident. Traffic's backed up around Route A. That's in Wentzville. Eastbound 64 at Illinois 159 is closed due to an accident involving an overturned vehicle. That's in Fairview Heights. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and New Florissant, expect heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Marshall, very heavy volume going on there as well. All your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays basically due to the fact that westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, they've got paving operations. It's backed up through 203. Also a side note here, westbound 270 at westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and New Florissant, look for heavy volume going on there as well. And westbound Illinois 111 at Canal Bridge, look for slow traffic there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Air National Guard. The Air National Guard guarding America and defending freedom. Prior military is join the Air National Guard and pick up some benefits where you left off. Call 1-800-TOGO-ANG. That's 1-800-T-O-G-O-A-N-G. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Pretty much the same all the way straight through. Hot and humid today, partly sunny, 50% chance of showers this afternoon. High in the mid to upper 90s. The heat index will be around 100 by this afternoon, this evening. Mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers, low in the mid 70s. Friday, hot and humid, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny in the afternoon. Chance for showers, high in the mid to low 90s. And the heat index will be around 100 Friday afternoon. Saturday, hot and humid, partly cloudy, high in the mid 90s. And the heat index will be around 101 by the afternoon there. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 81 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 81 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. It's Eye on the Lou. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing
Districting, hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls.
Welcome, 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 welcome to Eye on the Lou. This is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I am here with Irene J. Smith. Irene, good morning.
Good morning, Liz, and your listening audience.
454-0400 is the phone number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We need to start with the where we are, since we are just 2 weeks outside of election. Let's start with analyzing some of the elections, Irene. Where do you want to start? Who has caught your eye?
Well, several have caught my eye, but I'll tell you the one that I've been receiving mail from, it looks like every other day, and that's Jeff Smith.
And I think that people need to understand, we took a look at the campaign finance reports. They were due out last week, one of them, and then we have another one, I think, due out next week. What is interesting is the amount of money. I think that when we can assess candidates by the amount of money they have this short a period of time before the election. And what's interesting is that with Jeff Smith, he was the first person to get his report out, one of the first people to get his report out. And there was somewhere in the neighborhood of $158,000 that he had in his campaign coffers. And I have yet to receive a single mailing from him. And given the fact that we've had all of these reports or these mailings come out subsequent to that first financial or that latest financial report, one has to wonder if he decided to delay all of his bills until after that campaign report to try and say something to the other candidates that about his financial strength, because these are all six slick filings. They're all big color filings. They are all different mailings. And this stuff costs a pretty penny. So I suspect that he simply just waited to pay his bills because there's a whole lot of money in these mailings.
I would think so as well. I mean, each one of these, he's talking a specific issue, you know, the minimum wage, a living wage, you know, and things targeted specifically for the African-American community, the driving while black piece, the public education piece coming in. I mean, two of them came in, I believe, yesterday. Perhaps one was maybe even stuck in the mail the day before, maybe when I didn't pull mail. But in the last, it was 2 weeks, it's like I've gotten at least five pieces of literature.
And I live in a North St. Louis ward, and I have not received any mailings. I received, someone came by my door and stuck something in my door, but I haven't received any mailings. It's almost as if the first ward area has been targeted by this particular candidate. I'd like to try to decipher some of these mailings when we come back and start looking at the candidates that are running for this election on August 8th. And also, we need to talk about the issue of Francis Slays that's on the ballot as well, the money piece asking for the tax increase. We'll be back. This is Eye on the Loo. Stay with us.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
This is Kenneth Jones, candidate for 4th District State Senator. Governor Blunt and the right-wing Republican state legislature recently passed a so-called voter identification bill. This bill will deprive us of our right to vote. When you elect me state senator, I will fight them in the state legislature and organize our community to remove them at the ballot box. Remember to punch number 28 on August 8th. For Kenneth Jones for State Senator.
Paid for by Citizens for Jones, Margot Deloche, Treasurer.
Hi, I'm Will Cook, President of Holiday World and Splash and Safari. For the past 60 years, Holiday World has quietly grown into the best family theme park around, focusing our entire business on families. We've been voted the cleanest and friendliest parks in the world. We have great family rides, including three of the world's best wooden roller coasters, and a huge, innovative water park, Splash and Safari. New this year is the Voyage, and I believe it is the best wooden roller coaster ever built. The Voyage travels 1.2 miles with more gut-wrenching airtime than any other wooden roller coaster in the world. People tell us we're a great value for families. We offer both of our parks for one price with free parking, and when you visit us, all your soft drinks are free. For smaller crowd sizes, visit us on a Sunday or a weekday. We're located in Santa Claus, Indiana, probably much closer than you think. For more information, visit our website at holidayworld.com. Then take a day off and have fun with your family at Holiday World and Splash and Safari.
Holiday World and Splash and Safari, number one for family fun. Open daily until August 20th.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Loo. I am Liz Brown. I am here with Irene J. Smith, and we're taking a look at the elections that are upcoming on August 8th. And I guess one of the things that we measure the campaigns as they are going on out here is by the amount of literature that people put out. And I am reminded of, Irene, when I look at this literature that Jeff Smith has put out, I'm reminded of, it seems very familiar. It seems like the campaign of Francis Slay on the North Side. Does it seem that way to you?
Yes, it does. I mean, it's the big, slick pieces. It's typical, what can we say, Francis Slay-ish, so to speak. And as you recall, you know, Francis Slay was mailing. Of course, he did it on the south side of the city when he was running for mayor. These big, large, glossy pieces once a week, twice a week. And basically, that's the same approach that Jeff Smith is taking.
Well, when we look at the north side of this, we also see that this is the same type of actions that went on in the school board elections. We did see on the north side the same amount of slick pieces coming in on a regular basis from the Francis Slay camp. And when I was looking at the pieces that came in from Francis Slay on the educational piece, I'm seeing some familiar types of themes in the Jeff Smith pieces. Jeff Smith is dishonest in the piece that he is doing on the education piece. There is nowhere in here does he say the word charter school. He refers to the charter schools, which are different than St. Louis public schools, as a public school. He's dishonest about the amount of money that charter schools take, and he's also pushing the same type of thing that Francis Slay is pushing. Francis Slay has raided our school district with the Teach for America students. Or as I call them, can't teach for America. One of the things that Jeff Smith said, he wants to provide student loan forgiveness to talented college students who agree to teach in underserved areas. Well, that's kind of that whole petri dish type of assessment of our public schools, that we're just this place where Frankenstein experimentation takes place on our dime.
I mean, to me, it should be a push for greater certified teachers in the St. Louis Public Schools, particularly in view of the fact that it's my understanding that the St. Louis Public Schools has 300, I believe, non-certified temporary teachers.
And, you know, and if
substitute teachers.
And if kids want to go to school and get a degree in biology or get a degree in I don't know, Byzantine art, why should our students, our district, our community pay them for their educational choice when they haven't, they're not paying them for a teaching degree, we're not paying them for getting a degree in education? And it also is that contemptuous type of assessment, Irene, that it's good enough. Anybody with a degree is good enough to come to the St. Louis schools, and we're going to reward them and pay off their debt for their degree in Byzantine art.
Now, I mean, that's somewhat, I mean, the situation is like, it's not a push for qualified teachers.
No, it's
not a push for teachers who have majored in teaching. And that's not to say that individuals who have not obtained teaching certification can't obtain those certifications. But that does not seem to be the point of, according to his literature. His point is, you know, get some folks in here.
Well, the first words are provide student loan forgiveness, as opposed to provide kids with certified teachers. You're trying to provide student loan forgiveness for people that have not demonstrated that they want to be a teacher. It would be one thing if they said provide student loan forgiveness to people that have gotten a degree in teaching.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's Francis Slay-ish from the perspective of our money pot, our taxes are supposed to go to pay for the livelihoods or the issues of people that are not committed to our school district.
Very definitely. And it's interesting how some have danced around the issue of the state takeover of the public schools,
mm-hmm.
because we had at least one candidate in the 4th Senatorial District, Yaphet El-Amin, who went down, held a press conference in front of 801, basically demanding that the school board meet, I believe, with her and other black elected officials, I think, in 10 days, 5 days, whatever it was. I don't have the specific press release in front of me, given the impression, number one, that these candidates, that the school board members of the majority had refused to meet with her at a time when they were being attacked by Francis Slay. And so it gives the impression that you're on accord, you know, you're in accord with Francis Slay's assault on the majority members of the St. Louis School Board.
And the other piece of it is, and that, and we will get to this, we have to, I want to remind people of the letter that Maida Coleman sent to Governor Blunt, because I kind of want to do a compare and contrast in terms of how you can respond, how you should respond to this type of an entity and on this particular issue. I was very concerned when I heard about that press conference, very concerned about it because, like you said, it gives the impression that, first of all, you're giving folks that you say that you support it an ultimatum.
Right.
Okay? And that's not the way that you are supposed, that's the way you're supposed to treat Francis Lay because you understand what his history with the school district has been. So it seems awfully unfair and it seems awfully calculated in some respects that the first response, your response is to give the impression that you don't see a distinction between the actions of the people that you've supported and the actions of Francis Slay, that you're treating them both the same. And I think that that's unfair.
It is.
I think that that is troubling when you are trying to evaluate the relationship that people say that they have with people that you support. We support the school, the current school majority. We supported the candidates that were elected. This person said that they did as well. She said that she did as well, but she's treating them like Francis Slay should have been treated.
Exactly. Exactly. And then you look at, okay, you look at Kenneth Jones, who is also a senatorial candidate. Of course, he was out on the opposite side supporting the school board. He was at the school board meeting, as well as Amber Borkins. Though she didn't say anything, and to my knowledge, I didn't receive anything that in written, but she was there kind of like a show of support for these individuals who she had
Or a silent assessment.
Or a silent assessment, which is good. I mean, you have an assessment, you say, hey, let me see, I haven't been to any school board meetings recently. Let me see exactly what is going on. So she was there to make an assessment.
And the other piece of it is also, I mean, shouldn't it be, shouldn't you be clear right now about what's going on in the St. Louis, who the players are? Shouldn't you know what's good, but what's good for the district at this point? If Maida Coleman is writing a letter to, Maida Coleman is a senator. She lives in the city of St. Louis. If she is writing a letter to Matt Blunt that expresses clarity on where the issues are, why things were done, who should be supported, who should be backed off of, if she's clear on that, shouldn't you be clear as an elected official on the school board issue?
Right, particularly in view of the fact, and this is what I find a little disturbing, when the Shamo Slay faction, majority member of the school board, when our accreditation plummeted under them,
26 points,
you know, we didn't hear, you know, we didn't see anyone holding press conferences demanding that you meet with me right now. You give me a plan for improving
Francis Slay,
you know, Francis Slay or his school board members. We didn't see that. So I find it disturbing. These members have been in office since April. And for those of us who have attended the school board meetings
regularly,
we know what they have been trying to do, the information that they were trying to get
And we know about Craig Williams. Okay. All you had to do was to attend a school board meeting with Craig Williams and the new majority, and you would see the assault that these people were on. And there are telephones, there are fax machines, there are emails, there are text messages. If you wanted to have clarity, if you were unclear about what was going on with Craig Williams, you had an opportunity to get all of that to get that information prior to making a demand and giving the perception that these people had done something wrong.
Exactly. And I mean, and the other piece of it, it was almost as if though it was an assault, and we'll talk about the Board of Aldermen piece as well.
Okay, we're going to take a break. This is Liz Brown, Eye on the Lou. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Eastbound 64 after 159, there's an accident involving an overturned vehicle in Fairview Heights. Roadways closed earlier, but emergency crews are moving the vehicles in to the side, and now vehicles are starting to get past. Traffic should be easing by now. Eastbound 40 at 64, look for, or right after 170, look for an accident in the left lane. Westbound 270 at 367 and West Florissant, slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry all the way into Marshall, look for slow traffic. All your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are stacked up, basically due to the westbound lanes. One lane is closed, and it's reduced to three lanes for paving. Traffic's backed up through 203 and westbound 270 at 111 and Canal Bridge. Look for slow traffic there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try Sonic's tasty and hearty bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's classic tots or fries, a regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic, it's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Hot and humid, partly sunny. Chance of showers this afternoon. High in the lower 90s. Heat index will be around 100 by this afternoon. This evening, mostly cloudy. Chance of showers, low in the mid-70s. Friday and Saturday, pretty much the same both days. Hot and humid both days. Partly sunny both days. Chance of showers both days. High in the mid-90s both days. And heat index will reach around 100 to 101 on both afternoons. Currently, we have 82 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 83. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown and Eye on the Lou. That's next. Take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hello, I'm Joe Pons, candidate for state representative in the 57th District. I will support legislation to improve the educational experience for children in our community. I will work for improved access to health care for all citizens. I support a police citizen review board and a community approach to crime prevention. When you vote on August 8th, punch 29. The future of our community is in your hands. Visit JoePalm.com and learn more.
Paid for by Palm for 57th, Vanessa Williams, Treasurer.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun as we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your companion animals. Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
Did you know that we have one of the highest unemployment rates, no hospitals in Normandy, and failing schools within the 71st District? Henry Owenafu wants to change this landscape. We can no longer continue to vote for candidates who will not fight for the basic needs in our community. On August 8th, vote for Henry Owenafu, a candidate who will fight to restore our community's landscape like he did as trustee for the village of Uplands Park.
This ad was paid for by the citizens to elect Henry Owenafu.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Eye on the Lou. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. And Irene, I just kind of wanted to run through some of the powerful information in the letter to Maida, that Maida Coleman sent to Matt Blunt. about the staying out of the public schools. There's an article in today's paper saying that there's going to be some conversation that was an agenda added item to the State Board of Education. Kent King has added a discussion on the St. Louis Public Schools to their agenda. And there are also quotes from legislators saying that there is very little stomach for taking over the St. Louis Public Schools by the state. But there's some discussion about this arcane DSEG component where it appears that there might be an opportunity to take over, and the mayor's office would have one appointee, the board of aldermen would have one appointee, and the school board would have one appointee on a three-board takeover of the St. Louis Public Schools. And I have to go back to this letter from Maida, because it really is clear, or we really do have clarity from a legislator that understands what's going on and what should be done, that the state should basically keep their nose out of something that is not their business.
Particularly, the St. Louis Public Schools is not only a fully accredited school in the state of Missouri. There are several, many, many others, you know. And the fact that, again, that when situations was really dire, you know, I think that we are moving toward improving mm-hmm. the St. Louis Public Schools. And yes, we have a lot of hard work ahead. I believe Dr. Borisov will address the issue. She's familiar.
And she's going to be on the show on August 1st
okay.
To address some of those questions and concerns. So you're right. You're right, and there's one. Can I read this this part of Maida's letter where she says to Matt Blunt, the school board made an administrative decision based on what they thought was in the best interest of the children of the St. Louis Public Schools, and I support their authority, which is derived from the citizens who elected them. With the latest action, this current school board is trying to bring some stability for the first time in 3 years to the district, which can now concentrate on educating children without any outside political pressures, such as we have seen over the past 3 years. Did you call for the State Board of Education to examine the past school board? The past school board, when they wasted over $5 million of taxpayers' fund on an outside firm, consulting firm that knew nothing about public education, the only instability that you talk about in your press release that has occurred happened under the old majority board, which the mayor of St. Louis helped elect. During the three-year period, the district did not improve at all. In fact, before the mayor's slate was elected, the school district was only two points from full accreditation. And since that time, the district is now over 20 points from full accreditation. This new board elected by the people of the city of St. Louis has finally closed the chapter on the years of decline and has hired an experienced school superintendent who understands Missouri public education. I believe the state needs to let Diana Borisov put her skills to use and do so without more unnecessary outside political pressure.
I mean, that really says it all.
It really does.
I mean, that really says it all. It says exactly what has transpired very concisely, very pointedly, with full understanding of what has transpired. And I would have hoped that any individual seeking to become a senator in this state would, if they were going to say something about this issue, would have had it tempered in a manner in which Senator Coleman has tempered her letter.
As opposed to saying, you know, you need to meet with me right now to explain yourself to me. And it seems to me that you should know at this point in time what's going on with the St. Louis Public
Schools.
Exactly.
Exactly.
1-877-920-WGNU and 1-877-920-WGNU. Let's jump, if you don't mind, to a press conference that you and I attended yesterday, because I think it ties into this resolution that you have that we both have had a chance to look at. Yesterday at a press conference that Francis Lay had on the heels of what we have been saying on the show about what the city of St. Louis needs
very
to
much
do.
On the heels. Since the press release, according to when it was sent out, was, you know, shortly after the show was over,
mm-hmm.
and during previous discussions that we'd had on Friday.
And what was interesting was the presence of Alderman Freeman Bosley Sr. It was just breathtaking. It was horrifyingly breathtaking. We had the person from the Salvation Army that spoke. We had former Senator Pat Daugherty.
He's still Senator.
Still Senator Pat Daugherty speak. The election, I'm sorry. The election is on August 8th. Senator Pat Daugherty speak. We had also Francis Slay spoke, and also Dr. Kincaid spoke as well. And all of those people spoke and gave they explained where they were, where we were with health issues, where we were with the Salvation Army and food.
And Bill Seedoff with Human Services.
And Bill Seedoff with Human Services also spoke. Then Freeman Sr. gets up there. And, you know, I just wonder how much, I don't know, how much surgery was involved to get your tongue that far up someone, okay? What he said was, it was stunning. It was stunning. He gave nobody could have foreseen this. Nobody has done a better job than Francis Slay in dealing with this. It was a twisted cheerleading type of a thing, and nobody else did that. So did you decide to do that? Did Francis tell you to do that? And you did do that. This wasn't about a cheerleading thing for Francis Slay. This is about telling citizens about how the city of St. Louis is going to address the crisis that we find ourselves in.
Yes, but I mean, you know, basically what has transpired throughout this, and only on yesterday did we get some meat, so to speak. And it did come off as simple cheerleading. It was distasteful.
It was
distasteful to me. And, you know, I have to say this because on yesterday I learned something that I was not aware of, and that was
apparent. At the press conference.
It was after the press conference. Mm-hmm. Not directly timed, but I have to comment on it. It's kind of a word on the streetish type situation. I was informed that Alderman Bosley thinks that I helped Jeffrey Horden and those in the Third Ward with the recall effort. Anyone that knows me knows that I have not taken part in any recall efforts, even when there was an effort to recall former Alderman Kenneth Jones during the redistricting process. I didn't take part in that.
I did.
You know, I didn't take part in that. And so if this statement was made to one of my political allies who was very close to me, and he told him, you know, she didn't have anything to do with this. So I don't know what the deal is, but it's interesting to me that Freeman Bosley, who supported Clinksdale and Buford, then ends up there yesterday talking about something that was really kind of off base. You know, this isn't a cheerleader. This isn't after. We don't know how good a job you've done.
And we do know that there are a lot of problems that have occurred.
Yes, they have. Are they beginning to address those problems? Yes, they are. We're very glad about that because there are some people out there that are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Then you turn around and you look at this resolution. And what's it, Resolution 67 or?
79.
79.
And we also really have to underscore that, or to at least point out the history of this resolution. This is a resolution that older people, a handful of older people, Freeman Bosley Sr. being one of them, were working on during this crisis, after the storm. This is what they were working on. You know, so, and I guess what is so problematic about this resolution is that, once again, it's awful to see that we have elected officials who are far more concerned with carrying the water and the agenda of Francis Slay than they are with addressing the issues that our community so direly needs.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, calling on the school board to meet with, you know, so in order to restore, maybe you can read a line for
okay.
Liz, you have a copy of it there, about restoring confidence.
And I guess this is what also, when we tie this in with the press conference that Yaphet El Amin held, it gives people a toehold into making the case that black elected officials are opposed to this school board.
Right.
When you have a press conference from one black elected official says, I demand a meeting with you within 5 days so you, I demand you have a meeting with the community in 5 days in order to explain yourself about what's happening. You have that tied in with this, and folks are going to use that as an opportunity to say, black elected officials are opposed to this one. Black elected officials aren't. The most senior one has been very clear about it, and others have also been very clear about their position on this.
And some behind the scene have said that they are very supportive of this school board.
And this resolution is, in the recent days, the St. Louis City Schools have once again witnessed to what appears to be the inability of the school board to function in a positive, community-uniting, and meaningful way. Now, isn't it interesting? This was signed off by Jeffrey Boyd in the pocket of Francis Slay, Freeman Bozzi Sr. in the pocket of Francis Slay, and Terry Kennedy, you know, in the pocket of Francis Slay. You know, I mean, why are you doing this? Particularly when we ask people, when you were on the board, then we ask Alder people to step up into the issue of the $6 million giveaway that Francis Slay gave to an incompetent in the name of Phil Roberti. We asked them to step, and they said, no, we don't have any control over the school board, so let's not get in. We're not going to get involved in it.
That's right. But in fairness, Jeffrey Boyd and Freeman Bozzi did introduce resolutions calling for investigations and things of that nature, in fairness. But with respect to this resolution, they're just basically asking for confidence building by the board meeting with elected officials.
And let's be cool. We'll explain that when we get back. We need to take a break. This is I in the Lou. I'm Liz Brown here with Irene J. Smith. Stay with us. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else will you get washers and dryers, refrigerators and stoves? Where else, where else, where else will you get tools and tractors and lawnmowers? Sears, right there at Union and Natural Bridge. You can make your house look like a palace. You can make the outside of your house look like the botanical gardens. That's right. Get on over to Sears. Get your shop on. Great prices, great location, and great customer service. My name is Liz Brown. Let's get it done. Get on over.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at Connect Care want you to know that sometimes change can be good. Connect Care. Still connected to the community. Connect Care is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of Connect Care's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At Connect Care, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your health care needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At Connect Care, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. Connect Care, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Philip Person.
This hour's Global News Update is sponsored by Philip Pearson Roofing.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline London. There are reports today from various sources that President Bush has told Israel they have carte blanche for about a week to inflict as much damage as they can on Hezbollah fighters before he calls for a ceasefire in the region. There seems to be a method to this madness. One of the strategies mentioned is to send a clear message to Iran and Syria, which back Hezbollah and Hamas militants, at least according to Washington. Israeli Foreign Minister Zipi Livni has confirmed that a diplomatic process is already in place, but it's not going to dictate how long the military action continues. Diplomatic sources say this game of chess will be brought to an end in a defined time because a prolonged conflict could get out of the control of everyone. And Dateline Washington.
President Bush has told the Transportation Department to prepare a ruling that is going to allow American airline corporations to be purchased by foreign entities. This change is in response to a demand from the European Union to allow open skies and more competition in the airline industry. But this development is also contrary to current laws, and it also flies in the face of warnings given by Congress and airline pilots organizations. Current statutes require 3/4 of an American airline company to be owned by American citizens, and 2/3 of any board of directors or senior management be U.S. citizens. The Bush administration says changing these restrictions will allow foreign money to come in and help out the airlines, most of which are in serious financial trouble and have been that way since the September 11, 2001 attacks. The Open Skies Agreement will also allow foreign investors to set fares and schedules and operate service anywhere in any country that is signed onto that agreement. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Huss. Join me Thursday nights after the 7 o'clock news right here on Radio 920 as we circle the bases. Join my roundtable guests and myself as we talk about what's happening in the world of sports, baseball, football, basketball, hockey. Yeah, we'll even talk a little NASCAR, and yeah, we'll even talk a little poker. We'll circle the bases. That's what the show's all about. 7:05 Thursday night right here on Radio 920.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Lou. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. And I just want to return to this resolution, if we can, because it's a queer thing that they have done in asking for the in the resolved part of this resolution. It says, therefore, let it be resolved by the Board of Aldermen in the City of St. Louis that we urge the members of the St. Louis School Board to begin an open and constructive dialogue with the state and local elected officials. To the end that public confidence in the school board can be restored and that the entire St. Louis community can have a meaningful voice.
Seems conflicting, because first of all, if you're talking about just a meeting with elected officials,
that's slayish.
That's very slayish, and this majority school board has been very transparent. Now there are people that say, well, we don't know what went into Craig Williams leaving. He resigned. It was a personnel matter, which under sunshine is a closed matters not discussed in the public. And as Senator Coleman very eloquently indicated, the Board of Education made an administrative decision. They accepted Craig Williams' resignation, and that's that.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Williams is not jumping up and down shouting about it, and certainly meeting with some elected officials behind closed doors is not going to restore what, if any, public confidence has been lost.
And that's the bizarre part of this. That's the queer part of this. your solution is to have more closed-door meetings with politicians, that they need to come. Now, these are also elected officials, so you're telling elected officials that, I mean, really, it's kind of unprecedented when you look at it, because they're giving a directive to elected officials from other elected officials that you need to come and meet with us. This doesn't happen very often.
It happens. I mean, resolutions are just like the tissue that's in the restroom. We pass all type of resolutions. They're meaningless. I mean, it's just a statement of a mindset for the members of the board who passed the resolution. There have been resolutions passed asking that other elected officials come and meet with them. The timing of it is what's troubling for me. And the tenor of it is troubling, particularly when you look at the fact that these press conferences, the press conference calling for the meeting, Francis Lake calling for the takeover, you know, and this meeting with elected officials, you know, that's not going to put any public confidence. Public confidence is being restored by the Board of Education, the new majority members of the Board of Education, asking questions and detailed information about how money is being spent by the Board of Education, and moving on with that, and trying to structure some solutions to improving that will work to improve the students' performance on tests, and basically a learning environment for our children.
One of the things that's on the ballot for on August 8th is a tax increase that is being pushed by Francis Slay.
Graduated business tax.
Mm-hmm. And what should people know about this, Irene? Because it's challenging to get people to vote no on taxes, especially on the north side, because people seem to appreciate the fact that many things that have come to our community have come through additional money. What question should we be raising about any kind of tax increase?
First of all, we should be raising the question about where is the money going to be earmarked for.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tax that Francis Slay is pushing. And keep in mind, this tax was just defeated in April. Okay? We're voting on it again. We've already said no, okay? We're voting on it again in August. Mm-hmm. If it's defeated in August, it's going to be back on the ballot in November.
Mm.
The money is going to be earmarked for the police department.
And, again, we don't know where this money is going to go, and we're giving it to a police department that has shown contempt for the rule of law, not rule of law, but the voice of the people. We had a non-binding question that was asked to the public: do you want your police to live in the city of St. Louis or outside of the city of St. Louis? The citizens said, we want them here.
Yes.
We voted on this.
Yes.
And they have shown contempt for us by saying, okay, we're just going to go to our board, and we're going to have our board incrementally get us to the place of, we can take your money, we're good enough to take your money, but we're not good enough to, you're not good enough for us to have to live with. So they've already shown a contempt for us, and now we're giving them a raise for this?
Apparently so. I mean, because historically, in the city of St. Louis, you know, we more than a third of our general revenue goes to the police department. We have spent more money on police enforcement, less money since Vince Shamel days, less money, almost no money on investing on the front end in our children in terms of providing structured recreational programs and
funded recreational programs. Build a building if you don't have any money to bring anybody to do anything in there with the children, then what good is the building?
That's problematic, and we will get into discussing those, which will be on the ballot in November. But yes, I mean, that we have, under our charter, we have a children's services that has not been funded for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still pumping money into it. Crime is going up, so when crime goes up, we just give the police department more money. And we know that dealing with crime takes a multifaceted approach, and it's not just simply giving the police more money. It's not going to solve the crime problem in the city of St. Louis.
And I have a word on the street out here. Apparently, BECO, the Black Elected Official from the County, Black Organization, was down at the County Board of Elections getting a copy of the walking list for the 72nd State Representative District. And BECO is, it's interesting, we need to look at what BECO's money, getting their money from, if BECO is getting their money from All Children Matter, because they are members that are supporting the voucher program, and are they now going to try to insert themselves in the 72nd race when we have two black people that are running. Isn't that interesting?
That is very interesting. Quite interesting.
And we're going to have to bring it to an end, Irene J. Smith. Next week, let's take a look at some of these commercials that people have out here. Let's analyze the effectiveness of this. And one of them I really want to talk about next week is the Bill Haas spots that are out here.
And looking at some of the state rep races, particularly the 57th and the 60th.
Very good. And we need to bring the 72nd in there, too.
72nd.
We need to bring the county one
That's
in there.
True.
As well,
because that is a very hot race out there, and we know that Maria Chappelle Nadeau has done an awesome job in
Jefferson
City.
An incredible job. And we will be doing that. Irene J. Smith, see you next week.
See you next week.
All right, I'll be back. Stay with me.
Splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Israeli tanks roll along Aurora near the border with Lebanon. The fighting with Hezbollah militants is now into its third week, and the casualties on both sides are growing. For now, though, Israel says it won't expand its offensive. ABC's Aaron Katursky has details.
On a day when photographs of 9 Israeli soldiers killed in action appeared in morning newspapers, the security cabinet declined to broaden the offensive. But it did order the call-up of thousands of reserve troops, reinforcing a general's belief that the conflict could last several more weeks. Critics of the military's approach have complained its impact on Hezbollah has been insufficient, since rockets still land in northern Israel. They had argued for deeper incursions into South Lebanon with more ground troops. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Jerusalem.
Al-Qaeda's number two man has gone on Al Jazeera TV with a warning for Israel. Ayman al-Zawahiri says his group won't sit back by what he says are Israel's continued attacks of the Lebanese and Palestinian people. President Bush signs two politically important bills today.
Landmark civil rights legislation is being extended for another generation. President Bush has staged this ceremony on the White House South Lawn, inviting a who's who of civil rights leaders to witness the signing of the Voting Rights Act. Later is a smaller ceremony in the nearby Rose Garden as he signs a bill making it easier to track sex offenders on the Internet.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. Have you bought an airline ticket lately?
Happiness, as defined in this recent Delta ad, is simple fares.
Simple fares from Delta. Good goes around.
The unhappy fact is those fares are going up. While Delta has just announced a $5 increase for most one-way domestic flights, overall, airline ticket prices have gone up by 10% since the first of the year, the largest increase in a decade, according to the Bureau of Transportation Statistics.
ABC's Jim Hickey. This is ABC News.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed, but now it's easier to find answers in one place. Chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way, the answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com, your complete chemotherapy guide.
Want to get to the next level of your career? Earn a bachelor's or master's degree at University of Phoenix. It's education designed for busy working adults. In most cases, you can earn your degree in 2 to 3 years. At over 170 campuses, they offer programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more. Call University of Phoenix at 1-800-853-4433. Offer not valid in Tennessee. Programs vary by campus. That's 1-800-853-4433.
If you're a fan of old-time Hollywood glamour, this is something that you might want to check out. A dress that was worn by Audrey Hepburn in the classic movie Breakfast at Tiffany's goes on the auction block later this year. Here's ABC's Daniela Bellotta.
How do I look?
Clearly memorable.
The iconic black dress worn by Audrey Hepburn as Holly Golightly in the opening scene of the 1961 romantic comedy Breakfast at Tiffany's will be auctioned by Christie's in London in December. The famous frock designed by Givenchy is expected to fetch $130,000. The proceeds will go to a charity that helps underprivileged people in India. Daniela Bellata, ABC News, New York.
Microsoft has a case of Arrested Development. We'll explain. The company will run free episodes of the TV comedy through its MSN video service later this year. Now, if you're not familiar with the show Arrested Development, it's about a California family whose antics will probably make your family look normal. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, an exploding generator is blamed for a fire that killed an East St. Louis man. 41-year-old James Fleming was killed when the generator exploded and started the fire in his home on North 15th Street. Authorities say the generator was inside the house. Another man was near the generator when it exploded and is recovering from burns to his chest and face. An East St. Louis man is charged in a double shooting earlier this week that left one man dead. Police say Karrison Chapman shot Kavoshi Darden and his brother Tanner Rio during an argument outside of Eastside Rumors liquor store in East St. Louis early Monday morning. Kavoshi Darden died later at a hospital. Chapman is charged with first-degree murder and aggravated battery. Governor Matt Blunt is asking the U.S. Department of Agriculture to give local storm victims more time to seek food stamp relief. Blunt is calling on the USDA to waive its 10-day rule to file for replacement food stamps. The governor wants the filing deadline to be extended to August 18th. Families who received food stamps and lost food in last week's storms can contact the Division of Family Support to request replacements. The city of St. Peter's is marking a legal victory. A federal district judge overturned a jury verdict yesterday against the city of St. Peter's and former Mayor Tom Brown. Brian and Carla Hodak had filed suit against the city and Brown in 2004, claiming their bar's liquor license had been revoked because they'd spoken out against Brown. Brian Hodak had also claimed that St. Peter's police officers violated his civil rights in a 2001 arrest for assault and resisting arrest. City officials say yesterday's ruling confirms that the city never violated anyone's constitutional rights. Finally this hour, chickens, hogs, tractor pulls, and funnel cakes are all available at the Madison County Fair. Susan Zobrist, a spokesperson for the Madison County Fair Association, says there's lots to do at this year's event.
We have carnival rides. We have animals here. You can walk through the barns and see all the animals. We have the Super Scientific Circus, which is like a juggling show.
The fair runs through Friday in Highland, Illinois. Admission is free. More information is available at madcofair.com. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by McDonald's. Just how thirsty are you? Quench your thirst without ever leaving the cool air conditioning of your car with a Hugo-sized drink at McDonald's for just 89 cents. McDonald's, I'm loving it. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by AccuWeather. Eastbound 44 after Elm, there's an accident that's been cleared. Residual traffic jams near Lindbergh are easing this hour. Westbound 70 at Earth City Expressway, look for an accident. Westbound 270 at Riverview, there's an injury accident reported. Westbound 270 at 367 in West Florissant, slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 270 at 55 in Marshall, look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road, Mid Rivers Mall, stop and go traffic. Westbound 270 at Illinois 111 in Canal Bridge, look for some slow traffic there. And westbound 64, westbound Kingbridge, northbound Route 3, all onto the PSB, look for some delays as you have paving operations going on westbound 5570 on the Poplar Street Bridge. Traffic's back up through Illinois 203. and westbound Eadsbridge traffic. The right lane is also still closed on the Missouri end due to storm damage. Traffic slows at the right at the Casino Queen. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by AccuWeather. Traveling this weekend, get travel forecast and the latest severe weather updates at AccuWeather.com. That's A-C-C-U-Weather.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Pretty much the same all the way through. Hot and humid, partly sunny today. Chance of showers this afternoon, high in the mid-90s. Heat index will be around 100 by this afternoon. This evening, mostly cloudy. Chance of showers, low in the mid-70s. Friday and Saturday, hot and humid both days. Mostly cloudy both days. And the chance for showers both days, highs in the mid-90s with the heat index around 100 on Friday afternoon and 101 by Saturday afternoon. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 83 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 81. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Jamal Rogers and Liz Brown. It's Justice for Reggie. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Oh, welcome, 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 welcome. Today is Thursday. It's 8 o'clock. It's time for Justice with Reggie. I am here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
And I want to start off with thanking those that help sponsor this show, bringing this critical information about the death penalty, about Reginald Clemmings to you each and every week. Church of God in Christ, Bishop Ward, thank you so much for your continued non-questioning, automatic support of this show and what we are trying to do with this show. I want to thank you very much for that, and I think it's important that we do start with thanking our sponsors. Jamala, what are we going to be talking about this morning?
Well, one of the things we'll have in a few minutes are some of the attorneys on Reggie's case coming out of New York. But, you know, I was just thinking on the way here is how much difference 2 weeks make, because we weren't here last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like this is a whole nother world
mm-hmm.
in terms of St. Louis, in terms of what has happened.
Isn't that amazing?
It is a really, truly amazing. And so you do have to take pause and reflect, and you have to understand the conditions that we're in and the conditions that, you know, people are faced with, and be thoughtful and considerate. And so it really has been a pause for reflection. But on the other hand, things were moving forward. And in St. Louis, for at least the fourth time, St. Louis, male of African descent was released from prison after wrongfully being accused, convicted, and incarcerated for rape and assault. And that's Johnny Briscoe. So that truly was an amazing thing that happened.
And I was appreciative of his response. And I give anybody any kind of response that they want to have or that they do have after something like that. But he said he was angry. He said he was angry about this, and you can't do anything to make up for the 20s. I mean, you went in as a 20-something-year-old. You came out as a 50-something-year-old.
Yeah.
That's just think about that, folks. Just think about going in at 20-something, coming out at 50-something, what you have lost.
Yeah. You have a part of your life that's been wiped clean that you can't ever recover. He was in there for 23 years. And I think for folks who commit a crime and who get a harsher sentence, much harsher than their white counterpart, that's enough. But mm-hmm. when you sit in a jail cell day after day, week after week, month after month, and know that you're innocent, know that you have not committed this crime, the feelings that must be, and I agree, if he feels is filled with rage and contempt and anger, that's a logical, you know, human response.
And to go in as a father and come out as a grandfather.
Yeah.
And not to see the birth of your child, not to see the birth of your grandchild, not to be able to participate in any of their raising. How do you measure that? And I know that Missouri doesn't pay folks enough.
No.
For what has been done to them.
No. And so people need to know that the prosecution in these cases is why we have people wrongfully convicted. So every time you see somebody that's getting arrested on the TV, you have to really say, I wonder if this is the right guy.
We're taking a break. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with us.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs. Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 9:20 a.m. 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the St. Charles Lwanga Center.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Thank you.
back, welcome back, welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm Liz Brown, and I'm here with Jamala Rogers. And Jamala, we need to be brought up to date on what's going on with Reggie's case.
Yeah, and we had the video showing last Monday, or this past Monday, on the American Justice, the Bridge murders. And it's always so very interesting when people look at it. They pick out things that even I haven't seen before, because every time you look at it...
How many times have you seen it?
I've seen it about seven, because when we ordered the DVD, because we had sort of an old version of it on VHS, and I reviewed it just to make sure it was working, and I saw some more things, and so I was taking notes. But it's a very compelling piece, even though it's chock full of contradictions, and it forces people to ask the questions about... And this one always happens. Why did the police so readily drop the inconsistent testimony and of Tom Cummins, the cousin, and move swiftly to the black boys?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even within the documentary, there's those inconsistencies that are being brought up by the St. Louis police, yet you never hear about them again, like why he lied, why he told three different stories, why he failed the polygraph. So it's that thing comes out loud and clear, and the fact that, you know, he's sitting up there in the ambulance with, you know, dry hair, you know, drinking a cup of coffee like he's at, you know, the cafe down the street.
Well, can I just interrupt just for a second? There are a lot of shows on television right now that basically deconstruct criminal cases. They ask the why and the how of this. How did this guy get accused and this guy didn't? It seems to me, given that that's the genre that exists now, it wasn't the genre when this case first came out, but there is a genre for that. There is a place for that. It seems to me that the people that did this story should really now go back and revisit that in light of all of the innocent people, in light of all, because it is more, there's more comfortable room for them to do that now than there was back then. It seems to me that the logical story would be to do a story on him, to do a story on Cummins, and to do a story on the inconsistencies, and simply to ask the question of why.
Ask the question why. And remember, we said that first showing we did, we had people write letters to that effect.
To the
producers of AADTV, American Justice, and still to this day, and that's been a month, no response to anybody's letters. So it's just a very curious thing as to why that's happening, because at least sometimes they give you a form letter and say thank you for your suggestion, and we'll see if we can move on it. But, you know, I just think that there's so much there that needs to be rechecked. And the fact that it is full of contradictions, even from a point of view of a producer, it seems like there would still be some unanswered questions for them, because they say one thing in one segment of the hour and then another in another segment. So it really does need to be reworked, and that's one of the things that people were asking them to do, and citing specific contradictions within that piece. But the other thing we've been busy on is the 35 for 35, and that is we're collecting 35,000 signatures for Reggie Clemens' 35th birthday next month. And we've been out and about. We were at the India Ari concert. And I would just say, because it was so many of you all there, if you all are listening to this show, please go to the website and sign, because you know it was too many of y'all for us to get to you. I mean, that place was packed. And I really like that kind of interaction, because you get a chance to talk to people. And again, to really just thank folks who've been out there telling the story, because we came across folks who said, yeah, I heard about that case. Or, that's the case with the brothers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Came across a neighbor of Marlon Gray.
Okay.
Who talked about what kind of kid he was growing up. Also came across one of Antonio Richardson's cousins.
Mm-hmm.
So just being able to dialogue with people and just engage them is really a good thing for me, and to kind of hear people's perspective on the case. So that's going on, and we still want people to keep collecting the signatures. There's lots of things, events going on that they can get their signatures from. We also had asked people to kind of let us set up and be more visible. We have Sister Yolanda Robinson, who's with Women in Vision. That's a group that does ministry for women in prison. She's going to allow us to set up a table on the 28th at her event. And so we also have a brother coming from BAG, which is the Black Artist Group, the premier group from out of the 70s who are reconstituting. They want to do a fundraiser for us. So people are getting on board, and the synergy is building and growing, and that's really been inspiring. And so when we talked to Reggie and let him go what's going on, he really has a smile on his face because he knows we're in action and we are in motion, and the spirit is really growing. So those are just some of the things.
And what, is there something Saturday?
Saturday.
Or is there something this weekend?
Well, I know the Women in Vision piece is this weekend,
okay.
And will be set up. But, you know, we'll be out there with our signatures, and people, again, can go to the website and sign. But we prefer the people in St. Louis, you know, draw down and get a hard copy and sign it. Those people out of town, it's okay for them to go to the website. But we need everybody on board getting those signatures. And so it's just been, you know, a pretty amazing thing to watch folks get involved. We had a discussion with Malik at Better Family Life about, you know, them doing some stuff because they've been having better family life activities. And so people are coming on board. We're going to be escalating our work around the faith-based community. Mm-hmm. Got somebody specifically assigned to that. So, you know, we're moving. And the fact that we have had another break, we keep getting these breaks, Liz, and this is a good thing so that we can continue the work of clemency, because the minute that execution date comes down, you know, we'll have to shift into another mode. And so so all the legal challenges that have sort of put a halt to the death machine here in Missouri is allowing us to continue to work.
What's the other break that you're talking about?
Well, in this break, and we'll be bringing on the attorneys in a minute, is the lethal injection order that Judge Gatan, after the hearing in Kansas City, I guess it's been a month and a half ago, realize that we are in the dark ages here in Missouri. There's no written protocol. We have a dyslexic doctor who's been administering the drugs, the cocktail drugs, and even in Marlon Gray's case, had changed the dosage and had given him less of a drug, which meant that he probably had a painful execution. So that particular break means that there's not going to be an execution until he feels that court order has been satisfied.
And let me get to, there's a caller that wants to talk about Tom Cummings, and then I want to get to the attorneys to talk about the breaks that we have gotten and the extraordinary path that this case has taken. Bob, you have a question or comment about Tom Cummings?
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. I was just thinking, when you said if they go back and revisit the case and everything, what if they go back, revisit it now that Danny Glover's gotten to it, and a lot of people are watching this case. They want to know what's going to come out. Let's say they get involved and find out that the Tom Cummings guy was really paid off. I mean, it was really turmoil in that. Can he be recharged as that double jeopardy or what?
Well, remember, he was arrested, but he was not convicted, so there was no double jeopardy there. He could come up, and Liz is an attorney. She's right here, but he was never convicted of the charge, so he could be up on
they could charge him with anything that
mm-hmm.
they want to charge him with.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I don't think that Tom Cummings is ever going to confess to murder. What he confessed to was it was an accident, that there wasn't any intention to knock his cousins off, one of his cousins off, and the other one jumped after her. So, you know, that I don't know that they would pursue him for murder, but they certainly can. And also, remember, the cops, he said it. He did say, you know,
right,
he did
right.
say it. What they could get him is for perjury in terms of coming into court and testifying against Reggie and testifying against Marlon and testifying against Antonio. I mean, all of those, he could be gotten for that because he said what happened. And if he
right.
were to reiterate it, there are charges that they could bring against him.
Right. Now, if that does happen, will they have to let Reggie go free? If that comes out like that and it works just like you said,
Well, Reggie's not guilty of murder, then, is he?
More jail time.
Then Reggie's not guilty of murder, then, is he?
Right, okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you, ladies.
All
okay.
right. Thank
All
you.
Right.
We're taking another break, but when we get back, we'll be talking to Jill Goldberg, Allison Rothberg, attorneys with Simpson, Thatcher, and Bartlett. They're joining us from New York to talk about Reginald Clemens' case, the new issues that have come out, where we are, and what we should be paying attention to in this. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. My name is Liz Brown. We will be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Westbound 270 at Riverview, there's an accident that's been cleared. Traffic is bumper-bumper across the Canal Bridge. Eastbound 70 on the ramp to Grand. Look for a disabled vehicle reported. Eastbound 40 at 94, there's an accident reported. Southbound 170 north of Del Mar, there are reports that a tree has fallen onto the roadway, possibly causing an accident. Expect some delays. Westbound 270 at 367 West Florissant. Slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 270 at Gravelway and Doherty Ferry. Slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 at Mid Rivers Mall all the way back to Bryan. Stop and go traffic. All your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are delayed basically due to the fact that westbound 5570 on the PSB paving operations have traffic backed up through Illinois 203. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Just how thirsty are you? Quench your thirst without ever leaving the cool air conditioning of your car with a Hugo-sized drink at McDonald's for just 89 cents. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a quick look at this WGNU forecast. Hot and humid today, partly sunny, chance of afternoon showers with a high in the mid to mid-90s. The heat index will be around 100 by this afternoon. This evening, mostly cloudy, chance of showers. Low in the mid-70s, Friday and Saturday, hot and humid both days, chance of showers. Highs in the mid-90s with the heat index around 100 to 101 both days. That is a look at this hour's traffic and weather. We'll take another look at your news traffic and weather at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Listen, folks, this is the time to get your shop on. And where you're going to do it, you're going to get down to Sears. That's right, Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, lawnmowers, DVD players, tractors. They have it all, and they have the trifecta of your shopping experience. Great prices, great location, and great customer service. They have it all. Get on down to Sears. My name is Liz Brown. When you do, tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Cancer kills, but it wouldn't if men educated themselves and got tested. Lace up your shoes and join the 100 Black Men and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Missouri Saturday, August 5th for the 4th Annual Prostate Cancer Survivors and Awareness Walk. Men 35 and over will receive a free PSA test provided by Siteman Cancer Center. For more information, call 314-385-2100 or go to www.prostatecancerwalk.com. You owe it to yourself and your family.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And my long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. We are talking about Reginald Clemens. And we have joining us from New York, Jill Goldberg, Allison Rothberg, attorneys with Simpson, Thatcher, and Bartlett. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good. Who am I talking to?
This is Jill Goldberg.
Hi, Jill. And Jamala, you want to start with the question?
Well, first of all, I want to say Kika Matos, who's another part of the team in New Haven, Connecticut. Her father got very ill this morning, and she had to take him to the hospital. So I'm going to ask her to come on later because she's the clemency expert, and that's the piece that we really are going to be focusing in on the next couple of months. And but Jill and Allison have been, particularly Jill has been working on the lethal injection challenge for Reggie, but also keeping up nationally with what's happening. So, Jill, you want to give us an update? We know here that the, thank goodness, the anesthesiologists have stood down and said we're not going to participate in an execution in Missouri. You all created this madness, and you'll have to figure it out. So what do you think is going to happen from here?
I mean, ultimately what happens from here is Judge Gaetan issued this order saying you need to have an anesthesiologist. The state went out and petitioned, sent letters to, I believe, every board-certified anesthesiologist in the state of Missouri, and no one was willing to take on this role. Under Gaetan's order, without an anesthesiologist, executions can't go forward. But the case is now going to go up before the Eighth Circuit, and it's a pretty expedited schedule. There's going to be briefings starting at the end of this week, actually, and it would end by the end of August. Theoretically, there's going to be oral argument on that very soon thereafter, and it should be by the same panel that sent this whole thing back to Judge Gaetan in the first place. It is possible that that panel will reverse
themselves.
Judge Gaetan's order.
Okay.
We don't know, but right now nothing can go forward, not a single execution can go forward until there's some ruling as to whether Judge Gaetan's order will stick, in which case the state is going to have to figure out a way to do this in a constitutional manner, and right now they don't have the tools to do that.
When they sent the case back to Judge Catano, did they indicate in their order or their ruling that they were looking for something like this, that something that there has to be an anesthesiologist there, or did they send it back with no comment?
They sent it back with no comment. Ultimately, they really sent it back because there was a decision made that the first hearing was done too rapidly and essentially didn't afford due process to the plaintiffs in that case. So they really sent it back to afford procedural protections. I mean, as the attorney who's been working on this for Reggie for months now, I don't think anyone really expected the level of problem that exists in the state of Missouri with respect to executions right now. No one had been able to speak to the doctor who had been involved, so we all assumed that if people weren't getting 5 grams of thiopental, it was because the tube had a kink in it or because the tube was too long and the drugs weren't flowing through. No one, at least from my perspective, expected that someone was just not giving the right amount.
Mm. And in terms of what the Eighth Circuit could do, they could accept his ruling or they could send it back again? What are their options?
I mean, they could do all sorts of things. They could affirm the whole thing and say this is fine and let Gaetan kind of supervise the next 6 executions the way his June order contemplates. They could say that having an anesthesiologist is not required under the Eighth Amendment, and so that part of it is stricken. They could also send the thing back again, theoretically, for additional fact-finding, although at this point there's been so much that's come out. I think it's more likely that they either accept the whole thing or try to make little changes to kind of reshape that order. And just to interject here for a moment, this is Allison Rothberg. I also work on Reggie's team here. What Jill is saying, that's why it's so important that people don't become complacent and stop coming out to support Reggie and helping his cause in other ways, because very likely this could be an extremely expedited process on the Court of Appeals level, and there is a possibility that subsequent to any Court of Appeals decision, you could have lethal injections reinstituted in the state of Missouri.
And I think you're absolutely right. One of the things that when Liz and I talked about the lethal injection a couple of shows ago, we felt like Judge really went overboard, and maybe folks were thinking that they need to sort of get the process back. And I remember reading a statement from either the Attorney General here or somebody from his office saying, well, according to the judge's ruling, this could, you know, by default end executions, as if, well, that can't happen. Mm-hmm. And so I suspect that they will be vigorously and aggressively pursuing this so that the death machine does kick back up here.
What is the state of Missouri arguing?
I mean, in part, they're arguing we don't need an anesthesiologist. Mm. That's not required. We'll just have some kind of medical practitioner. And they haven't really made it clear who that practitioner would be and what their background would be. Ultimately, you know, what they may try to do is to alter other aspects of the protocol to obviate the need for an anesthesiologist. We would continue to argue that if you're going to use anesthetic drugs and drugs that are traditionally used in medical anesthesia, you need to have an anesthesiologist there. The state could very well argue, you know, if we do a constant drip of the anesthesia, if we give a painkiller as well, if we do this, if we do that, because I think they're going to have an extremely hard time for the next many, many years to get an anesthesiologist to do this. It's a hot button issue. Various associations of anesthesiologists have come out and said, you know, you as board certified anesthesiologists can't do this. So I think Missouri is going to be hard-pressed to fulfill that aspect of the order. They're going to do what they can to try to meet the Eighth Amendment in other ways, and it's up to the court to decide whether that cuts it.
Now, the Eighth Circuit is comprised of how many states? How many states are in the Eighth Circuit? Just Missouri?
No, it would be, I believe it's three states, and I don't know off the top of my head the other states in the circuit. We'll check on that as we're on the phone with you.
Oh, and so my question is that compared to other states within the Eighth Circuit, how are other states doing this, and will the court look to how other states with their lethal injection are doing it, and if they require an anesthesiologist? And do other states outside of the Eighth Circuit require an anesthesiologist, and will the courts look there as well?
Right now, this is really a developing thing. There are a couple of states that have sort of explored these ideas. California is one. Most states up until the past, I'd say, 6 months really haven't gone ahead and explored the notion of having an anesthesiologist there. There have been some real breakthroughs this year in terms of courts looking at lethal injection protocols and saying, you know, the state's been saying all this time that we're doing enough and that these people aren't feeling pain. And when we finally had a judge out in California look at the evidence and see that people were breathing 5 minutes after the state said they should have been dead, they woke up and said, okay, we have a problem here. And now Missouri really has been able, the lawyers for Taylor have been able to use that and run with it. And fortunately, Judge Gaetan was willing and able to realize that the information the state had been giving him in the previous hearing was just wrong. So this is so developing. The Eighth Circuit doesn't have very, very many states to look to, but ultimately this is really such a huge factual discovery that the Eighth Circuit just had no idea about before. And frankly, the fact that the evidence had been presented one way to them last time and they clearly invested a lot in what the state had to say. Now that it turns out what the state said was just wrong, I don't expect the judges on that panel to be too happy.
And in terms of assessing the facts of this case, do you think that there will be an argument by the state that let's just reduce it down to we picked the wrong guy for the job here that was carrying out the executions, that it was just his incompetence and not the incompetence of the protocol that we have in place? Do you think that's going to be one of the arguments, and can they make that successfully?
They could make that argument. Ultimately, you know, they weren't even putting into place the protocol they had previously. So any argument they had before of if everything's going well, they no longer have. They clearly, this person was a big part of the problem, but there's evidence really from other states, and really California shows this, that even in better circumstances, you very often have situations where people are awake far after they should have already passed away. I mean, these are things are supposed to happen quickly, and people are breathing, you know, 10, 12 minutes into the process. Missouri doesn't even keep those records.
Mm.
So Missouri, the state's going to have a hard time now showing that, showing this was all about the doctor, because they haven't been keeping records, or at least they haven't turned over any records that suggest anything other than what they're saying. But given this factual discovery with respect to the doctor involved, there could be other things going on, and until we have additional discovery in our case, anything's possible.
Do you feel that, and we're going to have you address this question coming back, do you feel that all of the discovery was complied with, or do you think that there's additional information out there that you haven't gotten that would shed more light on the need for an anesthesiologist or a doctor, or even whether or not the lethal injection should be continued? We will have Jill Goldberg and Allison Rothberg, attorneys with Simpson, Thatcher, and Bartlett, talking about the Justice for Reggie case, Reginald Clemens case, and lethal injection. We'll have them address that on our way back. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Jerusalem. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert says it is the desire of his country to set up a no-man's land in southern Lebanon about 2 kilometers wide that will be free of Hezbollah insurgents. The plans were outlined yesterday at a meeting of the Knesset Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee. Olmert says he has no idea when a ceasefire might take place, but he is asking for an international force that has fighting capabilities to be deployed in the region. Olmert also says there will be no compromise in stopping the rocket attacks against the citizens of Israel. And Dateline Washington. President Bush has apparently agreed to station more troops in Baghdad to try and put down a rise in sectarian violence that is posing a threat to the country's so-called democracy. The request for action came from visiting Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. There are just under 130,000 troops in all of Iraq. About half of them are now stationed in Baghdad. But more are going to be moved to the capital from other areas of the country in order to establish a police presence in the hopes of reassuring the population that everything is under control. The president says things seem to be settling down in other parts of Iraq, and this is going to make it possible to bring more forces into Baghdad. About 100 people a day are being slaughtered by death squads from the main ethnic groups. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dave Francis inviting you to join me on the Dave Francis Show on 920 WGNU AM radio here in St. Louis. We're here to talk about the things that matter most to you.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I am Liz Brown. I am here with Jamala Rogers. We're talking about the Reginald Clemens case. And again, I want to thank our sponsors for this show, Church of God in Christ, Bishop Ward. Thank you so much for the sponsorship of this show. It's important that people support this show and keep it on the air and make it possible for us to continue to get the message out here about the death penalty and what havoc it wreaks and the consequences of the enforcement of the death penalty. We have joining us from New York attorneys with Simpson, Thatcher, and Bartlett, Jill Goldberg and Allison Rothberg. They are the attorneys on the Reginald Clemens case. And the question that we asked on the way out, can you give us an answer to that, Jill or Allison?
Ultimately, I mean, we were talking about whether we feel that we've gotten all the discovery in this case that's necessary or whether there's something new out there. Now, the case that's been going forward is the Taylor case.
Mm-hmm.
The Taylor attorneys have gotten all of this information. Some of it is under seal.
Mm.
From what has become public, I believe there's a lot more out there.
Mm.
From prior cases, the state clearly collects some information about what time the drugs are given and the time of death. So they're keeping some kind of records. And those records, I think, would really be the next piece in the puzzle, because even if you didn't have this doctor doing this, there are other people involved and there are other processes involved, and what we really need to see is, are these drugs working the way the state says they work? And this is all going to be hard to do now in light of the fact that you do have these massive errors made by this doctor. But no matter what, the state still has a duty to provide us with all of this information it's been collecting over the years.
What information is under seal?
Because it's under seal, we don't know.
Yeah.
For example, the name of this doctor is under seal. The deposition that was taken of the doctor is under seal. The public is not privy to that information. So, you know, the information that has come out in the context of publicly filed briefs and court orders.
How does a deposition get to a place where it is placed under seal? And how does the name of a doctor get to the place of being under seal? Who made the arguments and what did they ask?
The state has done this in every lethal injection case they've had, as essentially had the opposing counsel sign a confidentiality order that essentially seals these things. There's a process by which courts will allow this to be done if they feel that there is some reason to protect the information. So the argument's been made with respect to the doctor that this is, you know, you don't want this person to be bothered, it's a safety issue, and you keep the name out of the public eye and you know, out of the press as a result.
Well, what's the argument made for the deposition? Because you can always redact the name of the doctor, so what's the argument being made for the deposition?
I mean, from what I understand is that there's sensitive information that may come out during that deposition and you don't want to risk it, although, you know, excerpts of that deposition have come through in the briefs. You know, the commentary from the doctor that he's dyslexic and has trouble mixing drugs does come from the deposition, but we don't have the entire deposition transcript.
And one of the things I heard about why his name has to be maintained anonymous is because of the concerns of safety and security. This is what the state is saying. So
I guess like abortion doctors type of a thing that they are making that argument. where do we, anesthesiologists are doctors, right?
Yes.
And what about the idea of a doctor in addition to an anesthesiologist? Are they going to make the argument that, okay, we don't need an anesthesiologist, but we can get a doctor there instead of an anesthesiologist? Is that going to be one of the arguments that they make?
I mean, that's essentially what they've been doing now. And the problem with a doctor who's not an anesthesiologist is an anesthesiologist may be trained to put in an IV line, but a regular doctor isn't going to do any of this. They're not going to receive any training in anesthesiology at all. It's not sort of a necessary component to medical training. If you don't choose to go into anesthesiology, you're not going to learn these things. You'll learn the basics in medical school, but you will never be trained as a practitioner.
And how has the state argued in the past that is not necessary?
They've never really been pushed on this before. No court has pushed them to say we don't need someone with better training. In fact, Missouri sort of has hung its hat in the past of we have a doctor doing this and a nurse involved, and this person's a board-certified surgeon. The fact that the person's a board-certified surgeon is very helpful in the context of placing an IV line to the extent that surgeon does this regularly. But that the fact that they're a surgeon does nothing to help the monitoring of anesthetic depth.
Because that's why you have anesthesiologists doing it as opposed to surgeons doing
Precisely.
It. Precisely. Let me get to, we have a caller or two on the line. Yes, you have a question, Hassan.
Good morning, Liz, and all the guests you have, Sister Jamala. My question is, when, if ever, will anything be done to these prosecutors and law enforcement officials who knowingly suppress evidence and in no uncertain terms frame defendants where they wind up in the penitentiary and on death row?
Thanks for your question.
My pleasure.
And either Jill or Allison, how many states out there have protection for prosecutorial immunity out there?
Well, what we can speak to is talking specifically about Reggie's case. The prosecutor in that case, Nels Moss, and as I'm sure you've discussed on your show before, there are a slew of instances of prosecutorial misconduct on his part during the course of Reggie's trial, from comparing Reggie to known serial murderers, to intimidating witnesses who would have come forward and impugned the honesty and integrity of the state's witnesses. This individual was actually sanctioned subsequent to Reggie's case, and has been the subject of numerous articles and exposés about misconduct in the state's the system.
But he still practices law, and I think that's kind of what the caller was trying to get to in terms of how do we get to permanently, just like bad doctors, you know, you can fine them all you want to, but if they're still out there performing surgery, we're still at risk. The same with bad prosecutors, and that's why I raised the question of the prosecutorial immunity. Most states, don't they, Jill and Allison? Most states have laws that protect prosecutors from that type of suit. And getting rid of them.
Most states, I believe, do have those kinds of statutes, although there are limits on any statute like that. And I confess that I don't know the contours of this area that well, but, you know, I do know there are great protections given to state actors like prosecutors, but there's a point where that protection runs out, and different states and different courts and different judges will draw the line in different places.
And the problem really lies with the state. I mean, the state is giving the power to these prosecutors, even sometimes when they've evidenced obvious misconduct in the past. And in the case of these lethal injection actions, you have the state giving the utmost degree of power to this doctor without any type of supervision whatsoever. They had this medical professional of their own choosing and sort of just left him to his own devices. And this dyslexic individual gave the wrong amounts of drugs. He mixed them improperly, and either the state was not paying attention at all or simply overlooked all of these things until it actually came to the court's attention.
Is there any oversight component in the order that came down from the Judge Guyton?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things is that he is going to do is his plan is to oversee at least the next six executions or until he's comfortable with how things are going. The problem is before there wasn't even anything written down to say this is what you have to stick to. But it's clear from Gaetan's order that he's anticipating far greater oversight both by himself and by the state. It's clear from the discovery, when you compare this case to the prior cases, that someone wasn't doing their job. And by someone, I mean one of the government actors.
Yeah, and we only have a minute left here. Would it be fair to say that the judge was really rocked and shocked by the findings?
I think his order really, really reflects that. I mean, the prior order suggested that he bought the state's argument, and to have all of this evidence come down and get the order that he issued at the end of June is huge. This judge is not happy with the state.
And it's not just the judge. I think the entire state and, in fact, the entire country is rocked by the information that came out as a result of this case.
I want to thank you both, attorneys Jill Goldberg, Allison Rothberg, attorneys with Simpson, Thatcher, and Bartlett, attorneys for Reginald Clemens. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Take care now. Stay cool. Jamala?
Well, the last word is we have our Reggie Clemens t-shirts in. So
yes.
They're
and
on
they're
sale.
Wonderful looking. They're great looking t-shirts.
Yes, I'm wearing one right now. And so we got buttons. We have t-shirts. Anything you need to promote and support this case. So keep those signatures coming.
The phone number?
The phone number is 367-5959, area code 314. The website is www.justiceforreggie.com.
Be back after the news. Thank you, Jamala.
Thank you.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. A very common sound as the fighting between Israel and Lebanese Hezbollah militants moves into a third week, the number of casualties on both sides growing. For now, Israel says it won't increase its military offensive, but it is warning Hezbollah, if you fire rockets from any Lebanese town, we will flatten it. The Islamic group says it's ready.
Despite a blistering Israeli air campaign, Hezbollah says it's stronger than ever. Ibrahim Mousawi, political advisor to Hezbollah's TV station, told ABC News that Hezbollah has unlimited resources and support in this country's south, and it intends to continue its shadowy guerrilla warfare.
A classical army cannot do it. The Israelis, with their capabilities, high-tech weaponry, the American support, outweighs any Arab army. And they cannot match them. So you need the kind of guerrilla warfare, secret resistance, in order to be successful.
And now Al-Qaeda has joined the fray, saying it will export Hezbollah's fight, quote, to the rest of the world.
ABC's Matt Gutman in Beirut. Ambulances race to Baghdad hospitals from some of the worst violence that city has experienced in weeks. At least 31 people are dead and 153 are hurt after mortar fire, then a car bomb in an upscale area. A bank and an apartment building were destroyed. Gas prices are at an all-time high, and at least one big oil company is making bigger bucks than ever. Here's ABC's Jim Hickey.
What you are paying at the pump is really showing up in the bank accounts of oil companies. Exxon says it earned $10.36 billion in April, May, and June of this year, up 35% over last year, the second highest quarterly profit ever recorded by a U.S. company. How to get a handle on $10.36 billion? Well, merely in the time it has taken me to tell you this, Exxon would have earned nearly $40,000. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
President Bush signed two politically important bills today. One renews the Voting Rights Act. The other establishes an internet database of convicted sex offenders. This is ABC News.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place, chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way, the answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com, your complete chemotherapy guide.
Want to get to the next level of your career? Earn a bachelor's or master's degree at University of Phoenix. It's education designed for busy working adults. In most cases, you can earn your degree in 2 to 3 years. At over 170 campuses, they offer programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more. Call University of Phoenix at 1-800-853-4433. Offer not valid in Tennessee. Programs vary by campus. That's 1-800-853-4433.
If you like The Godfather, you'll want to check out an auction later this year of some of the items that were owned by a famous and famously reclusive actor.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Marlon Brando's annotated script of The Godfather, letters from playwright Tennessee Williams, and dozens of other personal items are set to go up for auction in October in Dallas. Heritage Auction Galleries of Dallas says the October sale will even feature Brando's harmonica and his British Film Award for the movie Viva Zapata. Some still photos taken during the filming of Apocalypse Now. The auction will also feature clothing worn by James Dean in the movies East of Eden and Rebel Without a Cause. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
Well, on a hot day, there's nothing like a slice of ice-cold watermelon, right? Think twice, though, before you stash the uncut melon in the fridge. The USDA says if you serve it at room temperature, you're getting a lot more of the things that are good for you, like lycopene and beta-carotene. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, residents who lost food because of last week's storms can still receive help from several area agencies. The Salvation Army, the United Way, the Red Cross, and the St. Louis Food Bank are teaming up to distribute food boxes to storm victims. More than 50,000 boxes containing enough food for 40 meals will be given away at Salvation Army sites starting Saturday. The poor and elderly will receive first priority. The search is over for a man accused of stabbing his pregnant ex-girlfriend. Granite City police say 19-year-old James Stewart attacked his former girlfriend, who is 4.5 months pregnant, last week. The victim is hospitalized in stable condition. Stewart turned himself in to police late yesterday afternoon. He faces several charges, including attempted murder, unlawful restraint, and aggravated domestic battery. Missouri Senators Kit Bond and Jim Talent are calling on FEMA to get on the ground in the storm-ravaged St. Louis area. The senators have asked FEMA to start damage assessments for individual and family assistance. President Bush has already issued a federal disaster declaration for St. Louis, St. Charles, Jefferson, Washington, Iron, and Dent counties and the city of St. Louis. Finally this hour, Lambert-St. Louis International Airport is expanding its canine team. The announcement was made yesterday. Airport Director Kevin Dolio says the decision to add two more dogs to the unit just makes sense.
It was a desire on our part to get the greatest utilization out of the resources at hand that we possibly could.
Lambert's explosive canine unit will consist of 10 teams with one dog and one officer on each team. There are more than 400 teams in airports nationwide. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by McDonald's. Just how thirsty are you? Quench your thirst without ever leaving the cool air conditioning of your car with a Hugo-sized drink at McDonald's for just 89 cents. McDonald's, I'm loving it. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Granite Works Kitchen Sale. Southbound 170 north of Delmar, Fallen Tree, two lanes are blocked and traffic's back up to St. Charles Rock Road. Eastbound 70 at 5th Street and Earth City Expressway. Bridge maintenance operations have a lot going on there and left lane is closed. There are a number of maintenance operations going on throughout the St. Louis City County and St. Charles County as well as the east side, so just use caution. The main one is westbound 5570 on the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got paving operations making traffic backed up to 203. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Granite Works Kitchen Sale. Now everyone can afford granite, 2-centimeter granite countertops with backsplash and stainless steel sink for under $1,600 installed. Certain limitations apply. Call 862-6300. That's 862-6300. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Hot and humid today, partly sunny. This morning, chance of showers this afternoon. High in the lower 90s currently are at The heat index is expected to reach around 100 by this afternoon. For this evening, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of showers, low in the mid-70s. Friday and Saturday, hot and humid both days. Chance of showers both days, highs in the mid-90s, and the heat index will be around 100 to 101 in the afternoon on both days. Currently, we have 82 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 81. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. There's so much that we need to talk about. Let me share this story with you. This is a story that was sent to me. And I am not certain if this is so. You know what? I'm gonna have to find this out, because if the headline is Bush's personal aid to enroll at business school, I can't believe this. They're saying that a 26-year-old college dropout who carries Bush's breath mints and makes him peanut butter and jelly sandwiches will follow in his boss's footsteps when he enrolls at Harvard Business School. Though it is rare for Harvard Business School or any other professional graduate school to admit a student that doesn't have a undergraduate degree, admissions officers made exception for Blake Gottsman, who has served 4 years as a special assistant and personal aide to Bush. Gottsman, a Texas native who attended Claremont McKenna College in California for one year, has long ties to Bush and his family, and he has dated the president's daughter, Jenner Bush, nearly 10 years ago when he attended St. Andrew's Episcopal School of Austin. After completing his freshman year at Claremont in 1999, he joined Bush's presidential campaign, later served as a junior aide to Chief of Staff Andrew Card, and in February 2002, he became George Bush's personal assistant. In his current role, he has a number of wide-range duties, dog sitting, that's Barney and Miss Beasley. He carries Bush's speeches and gives him a 2-minute warning before a speech begins, I guess. Two is as far as you can count. You know. I guess my question and concern is that if this person is going get enrolled at a business school, Harvard Business School. If he is being enrolled at Harvard Business School, the concern is, how people set aside rules, how people engage in actions like this for their own reasons, and what suffers as a result of this. What suffers as a result of this. So let's come home for a second here. What are our standards? What is acceptable to us as a community? What is tolerable? What are our standards? There is a race and election that is going on in the 72nd district that I think that we really need to raise our concern about. We have a candidate that is running the 72nd district against Maria Chappelle Nadal. That shows that people have just decided we don't need to have any kind of standards. There are no standards when it comes to people when they run for office. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Stay with me.
Who have been there.
It's wonderful.
Never forget.
It just takes your spirits to another level.
Women of Faith.
You know, we're hard to figure out because we don't even get ourselves.
2 days that could change your life.
So I have for you tonight the top 10 signs that you know you need hope. Number 10, you cut up someone's food without asking their permission.
Hear stirring testimony from Patsy Claremont, Marilyn Meeberg, Lucy Swindoll, Thelma Wells, and Sheila Walsh. Come for the fellowship. Stay through the laughter. Leave refreshed.
The praise team they have up there is wonderful.
WomenOfFaith.com. Seats are going quickly, so call now 1-888-49-FAITH. That's 1-888-49-FAITH.
Hello, this is Regina Ruiz. I would like to invite you to tune into my broadcast on Sunday afternoons here on WGNU. The program is called Talk to Me. I will be delivering a message to build your faith and improve your life and will be taking your calls live. Listen every Sunday afternoon at 1:30 and talk to me, Regina Ruiz, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want to toll free long distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. We need to talk about the politics and the standards that have been eliminated. I thought that there were rules that were supposed to be followed. I thought that there were supposed to be issues that are supposed to be discussed. We have a race going on, I believe. It's in the 72nd district. Involving a Maria Chappelle Nadal against a former city council member in U City. This race, in which the former city council member is running, this candidate, it's just really stunning. According to state documents, this former city council member is running against Maria Chappelle Nadal. Sandy is her name. She has been late in filing 8 campaign finance reports. This week, a Cole County judge ordered her to pay $3,000 in late fees for just one of those filings. What the article doesn't say is that she didn't even go to court. It was a court date she had on Monday, and she didn't even go to court for it. And one of the things that is concerning and should be concerning to everyone out there that cares about the validity of the process, the integrity of the process, is the fact that the opposition to Maria Chappelle Nadal, Sandy, said she didn't know her campaign committee was listed as active. Well, the reason it's listed as active is because you haven't filed the paperwork to close your campaign down. It's not just magic, you know, it doesn't magically activate itself, you know, like adding vinegar to baking soda and a reaction happens. No, this isn't one of those magical things. It's active because you did not deactivate it, because that is what you are supposed to do. And for a person running for office to say, I didn't know that, how could you not? Did you take the act to deactivate it? No. Then it's active. And then what is even more troubling, aside from the clear dunderheadedness of this candidate, is this. You know, it's either you're stupid, you're a dunderhead, or you're a liar. And my question is that should a dunderhead or a liar be elected into office? And the answer should be no. And who supports a dunderhead or a liar? The voucher people and the people that carry the water for voucher people. Check this out. Look at the people you're assessed by, you're judged by the people who you keep company with. Ted Hoskins. Ted Hoskins has been in Sandy's office, campaign headquarters, every day. Betty Thompson, who is with the voucher bill, has been in her office, written letters about supporting a candidate who is either a dunderhead or a liar. And if you go and look at her record as a University City elected official, she's never filed any campaign finance reports. Never. What are you hiding, Sandy? What don't you want us to know? And how amazingly you flaunt what the rules are. You don't follow the rules. And if you are not attentive to your own stuff like this, how can earth can we expect you to be attentive to ours? This is simple stuff. This is not complicated. It's one sheet of paper that you file. It's not written in Greek. It's not written in Swahili. It is written in English. And you signed, you gave your word. You took an oath. And you said that all of the paperwork has been done. I have nothing outstanding. And you did. Are you a dunderhead? Or are you merely a liar? And should anyone be elected that's either of those? 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And I bring that back to the story out of Harvard. Blake Gottesman. Blake Gottesman is a 26-year-old Texan who was a presidential aide, who has, he's George, he gets breath mints for Boy George, and keeps the dog, Mrs. Beasley. George had a dog named Spot, but I guess even his handler said, oh no, we got to get rid of that. That's too simple even for you. So he named his new dog Mrs. Beasley. And Blake takes care of them. Why are we talking about Blake? Because this is about rule following. This is about graft. This is about lawlessness. And this is about the absence of integrity and the adherence to standards. General lawlessness. Blake Gottesman. 26-year-old, he's the one that gives George Bush the 2-minute warning. He has no college degree. There's no shame in that. But the problem is that how on earth did he get into, how did he get accepted to Harvard Business School? It's Harvard Business School. He has no college degree. Can I ask you a simple question? How should we assess Boy George's Harvard business degree? If apparently you don't even have to have a college degree to get into Harvard Business School. This kid attended Claremont McKenna College in California for 1 year and dropped out. He worked with Andrew Card in 2000 and then became W's full-time personal aide. Guess what this non-college degreed person gets paid? $70,000 a year. Great money if you get it. He gets $70,000 a year. You know, I'm not knocking anybody that with no college degree making money, but wow. But wow. He's 26 years old, not even 30, dropped out of college, and is making $70,000 a year and got accepted into Harvard Business School. 1-877-920-WGNU. And I, you know what? I'm sorry. My mistake. I'm sorry. He doesn't make $70,000. I apologize. I'm sorry. He makes $95,000. He made $70,000 in 2005. So between the years of 2005 and 2006, he got a $25,000 raise. He's making $95,000 a year. And so I guess my question, my concern, my observation is this: what do you get? Does this sound like you're doing a great job, Brownie? Does this sound like putting anybody into political positions not because of their qualifications, but because they have hookups with other people? That's the same thing that is trying to go on right now in the 72nd race. How can anybody support someone who's running for office, who just got ordered to pay a fine of $3,000 because they didn't do what they were supposed to do, been convicted, and says, I didn't know I was supposed to do it. So you're a dunderhead or you are a liar. Who wants you in there, and why are they willing to break the rules? The voucher people, and the ones that are getting paid by the voucher people. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. I'll be back.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind, too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds. Those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance. Insurance where we work to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
My bad brother, try to hurt you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever, true. Cause you're my bad brother, strong brother, and there is no one above you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever, true.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. And if you also want to call me locally, that's 454-0400, 454-0400. Get up, get to me. I want to talk about something that I think people really don't have a clear understanding of. We spent last hour talking about the death penalty. I think what people don't have an understanding of, thanks to television, is the issue of insanity. Andrea Yates, the woman who drowned her 5 children in a bathtub in 2001, will be confined to a Texas mental hospital after a jury acquitted her by reason of insanity on Wednesday. Now, here's the thing. I think she was crazy. I absolutely think she was crazy. But what America doesn't understand is that most people, I dare say 80 to 90% of the people that attempt to plead to insanity, they are not, irrespective of what they have done, they do not go to a mental institute. Of course she's crazy. Her lawyer said she will forever be mentally ill. She will be supervised 24 hours a day. She'll be treated by a psychiatrist. She will be living in a cell as a regular inmate. When she was in prison, she was living in a cell. She's likely to be sent to the Seoul Maximum Security Mental Hospital. Her husband has expressed relief. He said that it's a travesty that he, she chased her 5-year-old after killing the other ones. I know. She's crazy. I think she's crazy. She's crazy. And if you don't believe that, the prosecutors never disputed that she had a mental illness. They never said that she didn't have a mental illness. She was, and what she had was what most people who claim, who try to pursue the mental illness defense, what she had is that she had a record showing that she was crazy. Most people don't have the ability, they don't get to a hospital and have doctors diagnose them that they are mentally ill, psychotic. She had been hospitalized repeatedly. She was diagnosed as psychotic. And because she was psychotic, she believed that her children, ages 6 to 6 months to 7 years, were doomed. And she believed by killing them, she was saving them from eternal damnation. Jeez. We live in a world where people have said, have decided, have concluded that certain people are saints. Why can't we live in a world where people believe that there are people that are dead up, absolutely, inescapably insane? How does a mother kill 5 of her children? Doctor said she was crazy. Doctor said that she was mentally ill. And the jury finally agreed with her. Prosecutors knew that woman was crazy. Prosecutors knew that woman was sick. That she was ill. They acknowledged that she's mentally ill, but she knew what she was doing. That's what they said. She's mentally ill, but she knew what she was doing. Huh? 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Car phone.
Liz Brown.
Fella on the car phone.
Makes me think about Colin Ferguson, but, you know, he didn't get off.
That's fact.
They didn't say he was crazy.
That's fact. But again, part of the challenge is that Colin Ferguson didn't have the records, the medical records that she had.
Well, that's true.
You know, I mean, she was able to show a jury that she had been to, or her attorneys were able to show a jury she had been to doctors. Doctors had been diagnosing. Now, were they able to predict that she would kill all of her babies? No. But that doesn't mean that she wasn't mentally ill, because they were unable to predict how far she would go.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what I called you about?
What's that?
I called you about Israel.
Yes, sir.
I want to know when Americans are going to realize that the Israelis are liars. And that the Israelis have a history of attacking friendly targets. Ask the USS Liberty.
Oops.
Now we got the Red Cross and got shot. Now we got the observers. And why do you think they bombed those observers and killed them? Because they were doing their job. They observed the Israelis dogging the people in Lebanon. That's why they got killed. It wasn't because, you know, it was an accident. No, it wasn't no accident.
They
targeted them. They called them several times. I think they said 6 times they called the Israelis and told them, hey, you're getting close.
You're getting close.
Right. They ignored
you're getting
it.
Close.
You know, they knew they was getting close because they wanted to bomb them.
Yep. Yep.
You know, so...
And we need to... I think the world needs to say, stop. No, you can't keep... You can't destroy a country. They are destroying Lebanon. They don't have the right to do this.
Right. But America's not saying no.
No.
Condoleezza, she's not saying no.
She's saying...
I wonder how many Americans know that America is supplying the Israelis with the satellite images of Lebanon so they can pinpoint their targets. And not only that, they're giving them, they just sent a shipment of laser-guided weapons over there to Israel.
No, they not only just sent that, but they also sent bunker buster missiles as well.
And let me, one other thing real quick, and then I'm going to let you go. I wonder how many Americans realized during this Iraqi war, we ran out of bullets. And guess who we bought? We bought bullets from Israel. The bullets that we basically gave to them, we bought them. So we'd have the ammunition. I wonder how many Americans know that. Plus the fact that we're paying for Israel to do every damn thing they're doing anyway. I have a good day, Liz.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Dr. Brown.
Oh, that was quick. Good morning, Ms. Brown. How you doing?
Good morning.
I was wondering, you know, we're coming up with more people with being found not guilty. And is there a way now, does it cost a whole lot of money to do this DNA testing, or can they do testing on some of these other persons that have been placed in prison to see where they stand?
I think that because we're finding people that are ending up on, that have been on death row and have subsequently been found not guilty, or evidence has demonstrated that they are not the guilty party, or people that even weren't on death row but just sat and wasted in prison for decades and are innocent of the crime that for which they were convicted. I think that one of the challenges that we have and with the DNA is the resistance from many prosecutors' offices. A lot of prosecutors, there are some states where prosecutors are saying that it's too expensive to go in and do this. There are, you know, and there are even some prosecutors in some states, you know what they're doing? They're saying that we will destroy all of the evidence from various cases after 5 or 6 years. So imagine if they had destroyed, these were just, in the latest case, cigarette butts. The person that raped this woman sat and smoked a cigarette and said, my name is, and gave the guy who just got out of jail, whose name is escaping me right now, and said, that's my name. So, and the cigarette butts had the DNA on them, right? They couldn't, the lab that had the cigarette butts said that they lost the cigarette butts. Then they said the cigarette butts were in a freezer and they had a loss of electricity and they were destroyed. The cigarette butts were finally found, and it was through those cigarette butts that this man is now out of jail. Imagine how many innocent people will sit and rot in jail if some prosecutors are allowed to get laws passed in their community that says we only have to keep the physical evidence for 5 years after conviction.
Right. And I'm so leery now, you know, when the crime, especially if it's a, and I'm not trying to be racist or anything, but if it's a black against a white crime and they go out the next day and they apprehend somebody or the next week, I'm so leery of that because of, you know, just these findings.
Well, I don't think that you ever have to worry about being I think it would be inaccurate to be assessed as racist to bring up the issue of race. Mm-hmm. When we look at the people on death row and we crunch the numbers of the people, the men that are on death row, what we find is that men are on death row because of the color of the victim that was involved. Black women can be murdered by people, but there will not be the pursuit to find that person and get them on or put them on death row, as there will if a black man is accused of killing a white person or a white woman in particular. So
right.
race has embedded itself into nearly every decision that this country makes because of the hundreds of years of history that has made that so. So
right.
Never be concerned about raising that issue, because until we're able to confront that issue straight on, racism will continue to exist. It is racism that causes as many black people that are in jail right now. It is racism that causes more black people to be on death row. It is racism that says that the history has been that there's only, I think, been less than 5 white people that have ever been executed for killing a black person. Are you telling me only 5 white people in the history of this country have ever killed a black person?
They've been doing it for a long time.
I mean, ask about southern trees and their roots.
Right.
And the strange fruit that they bear.
Right.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Thank you, bro.
My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed will you find washers, dryers, refrigerators, and stoves? You'll find them at Sears right there at Union and Natural Bridge. My name is Liz Brown. It's time to go get your, maybe you need a new refrigerator. Maybe you need a new refrigerator. Maybe you need a freezer. Maybe you need a generator. Get on over to Sears. Take care of your business. Tell them I told you to.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Kinshasa. A new report issued by UNICEF says that over 600 children are dying every day in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The country is continuing to suffer from armed conflict lingering from 1996 to 2002 when the genocide campaign in neighboring Rwanda came across its borders and a regional battle started for control of its rich natural resources. Several other countries became entwined in that struggle, and the Congolese people are suffering from it. Young girls are being raped and otherwise sexually abused because the belief that having sex with virgins cures men of HIV and AIDS. Children are also being forced to serve in combat as soldiers. The first democratic elections in over 40 years are set for next week in the Congo. And Dateline Damascus. The information minister of Syria says that if Israel makes a large-scale ground incursion into Lebanon, his country will not hesitate to enter the conflict. Moshe Balal told a Spanish newspaper this week that if Israel gets within 12 miles of Damascus, they will have a fight on their hands. He was critical of the United States for not doing enough to bring about a rapid ceasefire. Israel has already said its aim is to push Hezbollah fighters about 15 miles north of the border. This is your wake-up call global news update. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, this is Jamila Nasheed, and I'm running for state representative in the 60th District. Are you tired of the politicians that only come around when they need your vote? Politicians that care more about serving themselves and their family members than the interests of the people. Politicians that use eminent domain to take people's homes. On Tuesday, August 8th, the power will be in your hands. You can make a change by voting for me, Jamila Nasheed. I don't only talk the talk, I walk the walk. As your next state representative, I will fight for a livable wage, better schools, job opportunities for our community, and I will also protect homeowners from eminent domain. I will hold regular meetings and return phone calls. That is my pledge to you. On Tuesday, August the 8th, fill in number 38 on your ballot. Vote for Jamila Nasheed, a voice for the voiceless.
Paid for by Citizens to Elect Jamila Nasheed, Felicia Brooks, Treasurer.
Fill in 38.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999.
Watching everything the engineer would move.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Trust on my own.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Georgia.
Yes, Liz. How are you this morning?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Oh, fine. And I thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
And you did a beautiful job here doing this tragedy we've been in. And I have one with you, Eve, now.
All right.
During Wednesday, the storm, I have a big tree, and it's a big tree in my neighbor's yard, and they knocked my wire down in my yard. That's my wire. It's been live.
Do you live in the
It's been live ever since.
Do you live in the city or the county?
In the city,
okay.
South St. Louis, to be exact.
You live in South St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Union Electric come out, and they put the red roping around my fence, you know, to let them know that it's a live wire on my fence.
Mm-hmm.
So they was out here this morning. They're going to put the wire back up. They've left now. And I've got lights, and my everything is going fine, only the meter is the limbs knocked it off, and it fell to the ground along with the wire. But all of my electric is working fine. They tells me that they have to get, I have to get an electrician to come in and put my box back up. And all the tree did was knock it down from the wall. And there are screws that put it into the brick. That's all they need to do. They don't do that. I got to get an electrician. The last time that happened to me was during, I believe, 2000 when we had that storm and we was down with trees. It did the same thing. UE come in here and made me move my box from the side it had been on since 1976 and put a brand new one on the west side of my house.
Who installed it?
The electrician, so it's up there well. It hasn't damaged that, but that's what they made me do.
So you had to hire an electrician?
I had to hire an electrician, and I'm going to have to hire one today to put my meter back up on. Just screw it up, Liz. All they have to do, because it's working, nothing's wrong with my meter at all. They say, I mean, I know it isn't. It's in that flexible pipe. That wiring is where they just straighten it back up and put the screws in, but they don't do that. I got to get an electrician, and that's going to be an arm and a leg. I'm retired on a fixed income, and I don't think that's right.
I don't think it's right either, but I do understand the concern of wanting an electrician to put it back. I would want an electrician to put it back as well. I think it's dangerous for anybody to be messing around with electricity if you don't know what you're doing.
No, so, these were UE electricians.
Oh, I understand. No. My point is that, I understand, I agree that there should be a person with an electrician to put it back up.
I do too.
But since they asked you to move it, and you moved it because they told you to move
That's
it,
right.
And then it's knocked down because when was the last time they came out and cut your limbs of your tree?
I think that
they should be the ones that have to pay for
reinstallment
of that, particularly since you moved it because they told you to move it.
Yeah,
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
And you know what? Here's what I'd like to do. Why don't you leave? I'm going to put you on hold and have my intern get your name and information.
All right.
Because maybe there's an electrician out there that would be willing to come in and take a look at it and see what they can do for you.
All
okay?
right. Thank you so much.
All right. Liz. All right.
Mm-hmm. And you keep doing the job you're doing, and I'm praying for you every day.
Thank you so much.
You're doing a good job. You're giving us the information that we need.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. JW.
Hey, good morning, Liz.
Good
great,
morning.
Great show this morning. I've been catching some of everything. Well, there's a couple of comments. Number one, on the superintendent deal, it was reported yesterday that she's actually reached out to a couple of other former superintendents, and one is actually willing to donate his time to help on the budget piece. I don't believe in the last few years.
Wait a minute. Okay, I'm not clear on who you're saying is doing what. Start over
okay,
again.
Okay, on the new superintendent of the school.
Boriso?
Yeah.
Okay.
They reported yesterday that she's reached out to two former superintendents to bring on her team to help her turn this around.
Who are the people?
I'm sorry, I don't remember the names. I just know that they said two former superintendents, and one was actually donating his time to help on the budget issues or to that effect.
Okay.
And then the other, but the point that I'm bringing up is that at least we have people who have actually been superintendents that participate, and that hasn't happened in the last 3 years.
That hasn't happened in the last three. In fact, there's been a disdain for that.
Exactly. You know, on the UE piece, though, this is what I'm more interested in. I would love for somebody to do an honest interview, a hardcore, not softball interview, but an honest interview with some of these outside contractors that come in. Because, Liz, you know, there hasn't been a real check and balance against UE, and I'm just concerned about how they've even wired the city of St. Louis. Because it just didn't seem right that four houses on one side of the block is on, four in the middle is out, and then the next four is on in the same block on the same side of the street. You know, one half is on, one half of the block is off. I mean, I'd really like to know, because I think these boys just been wiring this city any damn way they please.
That is the question.
That have the power to check them is in their pockets. Because come election time, them same folks get money from these people. So I think they all kind of in this together. And, you know, again, the Eye on the Lou, I'm enjoying that segment. It's a great segment. You know, I'm enjoying everything you do. And all of a sudden, Liz, last thing, isn't it funny that now just one person is going to come on and talk honestly to you and the wake-up call listeners about the school board? You know,
They wouldn't come.
Came to St. Louis and didn't even know Liz Brown.
He
wouldn't come talk to you.
Oh, no. He got to know. No, he was told about Liz Brown when he got here. Okay.
I know,
before he got here, he did. He heard about me. And when he got here, he wouldn't come on this show.
I know. That's my point is, how can you make that determination and you ain't even met the woman? You're just going off of what other people say.
That's right.
Heck, I heard things about Liz Brown, but I took the time and interest to learn, and I see where you're coming from, Liz. You're just on the side of right. And it doesn't matter to you what color you are. What the issue is either right or it's wrong. And I think that's what your mama taught you. That's what my mama taught me, is either right or it's wrong.
And my mama and my daddy. I don't want to leave out my daddy.
Don't want to leave out your daddy.
All right.
Liz, stay outstanding.
All right, you too. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Brenda.
Uh-huh.
Good morning.
Good morning. My question was, is some of the residents here in the St. Louis area, they still do not have electricity, and I am one of those people, and it's been out since last Wednesday. And in checking into one of the hotels, because I've been back and forth from different hotels, one of the other customers was checking in. She mentioned that she heard that each family should be getting a $1,200 monetary voucher. Have you heard anything like that?
And from who?
See, she said it was from FEMA. Organizations that were there to support the Katrina victims.
I saw FEMA. I saw a couple of people with FEMA shirts on yesterday at a press conference that I attended.
Mm-hmm.
I am unaware of this.
Okay.
I haven't heard anything about this.
I was just calling to check because I hadn't.
In fact, FEMA said that they are now only going to give out $500 increments of money to people. After all the stealing that FEMA did, buying computers for millions of dollars, they're going to punish citizens. So apparently people are only going to get $500.
Do you know how you go and get that amount?
I don't know that anybody here qualifies for that amount. Is what I'm saying. Let me do some searching on that, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. Earlene.
Hey, Liz. Real quick about Andrea Yates. The one thing I've always tried to figure out is why her husband was not charged with endangering the welfare of a child if he knew his wife was crazy.
Mm.
Kept having babies and then left her alone with the children. He was never even brought in. That was never even raised. And you know and I know that any time someone else is around a person who's harmed a child, they're looked at and often charged.
Mm.
And he was never even came up. You left this woman alone with these children.
That's a fact. It's a tragedy all the way around. It's a tragedy all the way around. I don't think that she should have been charged.
Well, yeah, I mean, she was obviously out of it. You could look at her and tell she was gone. And then real quick on UE, anybody in their 50s and up who grew up in St. Louis remembers on a regular basis UE trucks used to show up trimming trees on your yard, in your backyard. They had an easement, so they didn't have to even get your permission. You'd wake up and hear people in your yard. Who is that? Oh, it's just Union Electric trimming the trees. I called them. Thank God my lights didn't go out because they kept going out so much before they finally got it fixed. They said you had to cut the trees yourself. They don't cut the trees anymore. We see what has happened, don't we?
Yep. Thanks for your call, Earlene.
Take care.
Mike.
Good morning. Just wanted to say real quick that folks should pick up the DVD, The Unpublished Story about Emmett Till. Rather good information in there. And we may even have the first white female convicted of a civil rights murder in the history of the country. Fortunately, the prosecutor down there now looks like you and I. Something may finally get done.
All right, now, thanks for your call, Mike. My name is Liz Brown. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow morning. Until then, stay strong.
The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight.